Blog Talk Radio.
So, you know, I look back on in my new book, I talk about the history of the U.S. bioweapons program. And from the beginning, the CIA was running the bioweapons program. Why? Because we didn't have a bioweapons program after World War II. And the CIA's first operation was called Operation Paperclip. And it was an operation to get all the bioweapons and nuclear and chemical scientists out of Germany and Japan, where they had an extensive bioweapons program. The Japanese had a horrendous program where they did live vivisections on 3,000 people. You know, they killed them all during the operation, removing their infected organs while they were alive with no anesthesia. And these were horrible, horrible scientists. The CIA elevated them, brought them over to Fort Detrick, downloaded them, and made them the heads of hospital systems and pharmaceutical companies.
Well, I don't know what happened. It just stopped. I don't even know if you can hear me. Can anybody hear me? Let me get to see if there's Pianchi's on here, I think. Well, that's not working either. Isn't that sweet?
Hello, Tommy. How you doing?
Oh, you're on.
Yes, sir.
Well, hello, sir. It won't let me put... It doesn't look like you're on, but I'm glad you're here.
Well, let me pinch myself.
Yeah,
I'm here too.
Well, I'm glad. It says you're muted, but hey, we'll work it. It works out fine. So what's up, Pianchi? How's it going?
Well, a lot of people complaining about the heat. I just laugh at them. But it's too hot. Go inside. Drink some water.
Yeah. I'll tell you what.
I'm trying to get rid of, your gas stove.
It's almost, you know, almost August, so they'll be bitching come September and October, especially November and December, and then January is the longest, coldest month of the year, so they'll be bitching. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I went to the other site and got on. Now, Cinnamon, is that you?
Yes, that's me.
Hey, we're all working now. Direct Connect somehow has made changes, so I have to check that out one of these days. Maybe I screwed it up. I don't know. Had a good conversation with Lori Ann this afternoon. Really good. You had to be there. Hello.
Hello.
Anybody here? Here's a
yep.
lady. It was sent from Bell, B-E-L, Bell. And this lady we're about to hear was a supporter of green energy until she did some research. And here she nails it on climate change or climate scam, she calls it. And the climate change industry is worth $1.5 trillion a year, and that's $4 billion a day. And here's what she has to say.
Good evening. I've been a supporter of green energy and a keen environmentalist since my 20s. My office is solar powered, so I was mortified to discover that a single lithium mine causes millions of tons of waste every year, laced with sulfuric acid and radioactive uranium, polluting the water supply for 300 years, not to mention the unacceptable human costs with child labor to mine cobalt. When I researched which solar panel to purchase, I did not for one minute consider it would be made by people trapped in razor wire enclosed labor camps, being exposed to large quantities of quartz dust, which causes silicosis. Please note that the Ethical Consumer Organization report that it is hard to avoid forced labor in the solar panel supply chain. Wind turbines, which last about 20 years, consume a colossal amount of resources and energy to manufacture and install, not to mention the blight and bird kill. They require diesel engines to start them up and then gallons of oil to lubricate, and they can't readily be recycled. Solar panels are also extremely difficult to recycle, costing more than the production of the panel. And lithium batteries pose steep challenges too. Add to that the human suffering, which we've all unwittingly been part of just by owning a laptop or mobile phone, which is minimal compared to what's required for an EV or solar farm. These so-called green or ethical solutions aren't solutions at all. Just very good marketing from the $1.5 trillion a year climate change industry. That's $4 billion a day, by the way. None of us can undo what's already been done, but what we can all do is make sure this doesn't escalate exponentially with fleets of unnecessary EVs and acres of solar farms eating up our precious farmland.
There you go. Thank you, Belle. And she wanted me to play that fast because she can't stay all night. Yeah. $1.5 trillion a year. What a surprise. No wonder Gore wants it so bad, right? And Kerry, John Kerry. They all want this money,
money.
Go ahead.
Said at the beginning of this big push, and I don't know who it was, but they said, yeah, we need to move to more more environmentally stable practices, but this isn't an overnight fix, and we can do more harm than good with overnight fixes.
Yeah,
so everybody that's freaking out about petroleum, gas production, oh, good God, now I can't remember how much it is. Gas production is out of the oil sector, out of the big businesses, is not that much. Gasoline. Like she said, you still need the oil to lubricate, even though
yeah.
they're starting to get synthetic ones. Those are also not environmentally friendly ways to dispose of, and all of the plastic in our lives.
Can't be done. You're not going to get rid of any of that.
No, because we don't want to get rid of that. We don't want to get rid of our water bottles, which is a big one. You're gonna go and turn around and okay, we're gonna go to paper straws. Yeah, what are you gonna do about your water bottle that you always have? You know, yeah. What are you gonna do? And they'll go, okay, we'll go with tin cups. Yeah, but your tin cup is made on a factory line that uses oil to lubricate the line or lubricate the robots that build the stuff. You can you can be all superior and nosy about stuff, but unless you're living off the grid and living like you're living in, you know, the 1800s frontier land, you're going to run across it. And I don't see everybody turning around and building log cabins.
No. Not to change the subject, does anybody know who Isaac Cappy is?
Sounds familiar.
No.
But no.
No, it sounds like a fisherman.
Yeah, it does. Hey, I watched that tape, Bianchi, Cinnamon, and I did. But Patterson?
Yeah, C.R. Patterson?
Yeah, that was, I didn't even know that. You know, I remember seeing a picture of a, you know, it, like the early day of a pickup. It had a, like a, not a trailer, but it was like a, the bed of a truck. I thought it was a business, and it had Patterson on the side. But I thought it was like a logging business or, you know, a moving business, you know. But I didn't know that was the manufacturer. That was a, I like
that. Yeah, he was manufacturing before Ford. And guess what? To go against these arguments you see going on with Congress and Black history, I guess what DeSantis says, he was a slave.
Yeah, God, he was a slave.
Well, he benefited from being a slave because that's what he learned. What he learned.
Yeah, you know.
And you know his partner was Lowe, L-O-W-E, like Lowe. I guess Lowe Hardware. I wonder if there's some connection there. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you know. Somebody it was on the internet read the whole thing, or you know, the whole chapter, and they have cut that up so bad, and it sounds bad when they come on TV, like on The View, and Whoopi Goldberg is just going crazy about how, you know, slavery and all this. If they read the whole thing, they would understand what the hell it was said. And I think they know that, but it doesn't fit their narrative. And two Black professors are actually the ones that wrote it. They wrote it. And, of course, they don't want to admit that either. But DeSantis didn't have anything to do with that. Not at all. He said he really didn't even know this was going on. Yeah, it was happening.
And it's not the federal government's responsibility. They have no authority over this state and how it's this educational outcomes.
No. It is another reason to call somebody a racist.
And they bamboozling once again. They bamboozling Blacks in order to try to get their votes.
Yeah. They ought to be ashamed of themselves. They really should. I tell you what, they've got to do something with these newscasts that lie to people. Constantly Fox lies. All of them lie. They got to do something because people believe that crap. I think it was Cinnamon. I think I played it about that Black gentleman that was wanting to go to a Trump rally, but he was afraid. Well, you heard all that crap on CNN and MSNBC. And there was a rally today in Erie, Pennsylvania, and a Black man was leading the Congo line. there was quite a few Black people in the crowd just having a party. I'm telling you, they have a good time. And they make it sound like there's no Black people at all. Now, Pianki, have you ever heard of I think it's called the Cartier family? It's like four or five guys. They're all family members. And they sit there, and they're damn smart. But they sit there and they watch a tape. They play a tape. I'm watching it. You're watching. Whoever's watching. And they'll stop it and dissect it. And I didn't know that. And one of the brothers would say, yes, and he'd go into more detail. It is very interesting how they do. I think it's Carrier. I think that's how you spell his name. Their name. But it's the Cartier family. And gives you a whole.
No, I don't know them per se.
Yeah, YouTube. I follow those guys, and they're really good. They teach me too. There's a lot of things they find out, and they share it. I enjoy the heck out of it. Somebody will send me a tape. I haven't saved any. I should have. But yeah, that's a good.
Democrats lie. They're some of the biggest liars. And I'm talking about natural Democrats. They just lie. You just listen to them. They lie. Come up with all these damn excuses, like the lady, Congresswoman in Ohio, Joyce was complaining about the congressman from Arizona, Eli Crane, using the word colored people.
Yeah.
Yeah. That word, those two words are used all over the place, including the NAACP and going back as far as you can. And you got prominent individuals, so-called, they write books using the word. But these people be lying.
Yeah. Lorianne, you're on. Welcome. She's probably muted.
Hello, hello. Happy Saturday to y'all. Hey, Bianchi. Hello, Cinnamon.
Hello, Lorianne.
Lorianne Kelly, the hardest working woman in social media.
That's it.
Why do you say that?
See that, Donna? You just can't win, can you?
You can't. You can't win at all. Come on.
I didn't know if you were referencing something in particular or just a general statement.
Oh, man. So, Lorianne and I talked earlier. And, of course, I listened and she talked. That's how it went. Hey, here it is, right here, you guys.
Big surprise, right?
It. Yeah, I spelled it wrong. Bianchi, it's C-A-R-T-I-E-R family. Let me just play a little bit of it.
Name Ice Cube. Okay, guys, Tucker Carlson's back, posting something on Twitter with my boy Ice Cube.
Man, Tucker's been killing the game, man. This Twitter show is good. I try to watch the full episodes on that. The fact that it's free is even crazier.
Oh, because Tucker posts his videos on Twitter.
Yeah.
I need to tap in.
What are they called? X now, because that's what they're about to change the name of Twitter to.
Come on. That's for real?
Yeah, that's for real.
Why wouldn't he do that? That'd be smart, because it's kind of close to his brand, SpaceX, Tesla.
But yeah. Twitter, everyone knows Twitter as Twitter.
Well,
it's not Twitter no more. He bought it, so it's his business. Yeah. So he could do whatever he want with it.
He can. I guess he's trying to, because Instagram hit the threads on him. He was out about that.
He was.
Instagram threads is low-key tough. I don't have it. I didn't make one.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to get on that. After I saw the privacy terms that you agreed to.
I just don't want more social media in my life.
Yeah, I don't want them to collect more information on me.
Okay, man, this is like a cross of worlds, man. We got a ghetto star. I ain't going to say ghetto.
Hey, that's crazy.
That's what's old past, man. Now
he's not even known for that. Like, if kids seen Ice Cube today, they would think, are we there yet? Are we done yet?
That's our age.
But okay. I mean, just across the world. Basically.
But I feel like people don't see,
you know, what's the movie with Kevin Hart?
Ride Along, stuff like that.
And I'm giving him
Hit Hard. Yeah.
I didn't even know he was part of NWA until later.
What's that movie? 21 Jump Street.
Ghetto was an extreme.
I feel like that's how people know Ice Cube now. People be like, Ice Cube rapped? What?
Yeah, you just played on his top.
People be surprised by that.
I played on his top, bro. That's what he like was known for.
Okay, I'm going to skip up ahead here.
Just for doing that. Like, why would you do that?
And that is a big problem in the community.
Coming straight from the underground.
Nah, I never
got it back because I'm brown.
Would have expected this.
You better watch the whole thing.
Yeah, let's go ahead and get into it.
So why would you be doing this of all interviews? I mean, you could do an interview with anyone. You're doing an interview with me. Obviously, you're going to take abuse for doing that. Like, why would you do that?
Because I think it's silly not to talk to people. I think... Whether we agree or not,
right?
Why he say that he gonna take abuse?
Because it's gonna take backlash for talking to Tucker Carlson. He's kind of a controversial guy. Leans a little conservatively.
Yeah.
You know, people don't really take too kindly to black people ingesting that type of content.
Yeah, I think it's just
endorsing that type of person. So I mean, he's gonna take definitely some backlash.
Yeah. He talks to him. Yeah, you know, black people think conservative, they think racist.
Yeah.
I bet the View would hate this.
Oh, of course.
Because they're some victims. Let's call that the victim, not the View.
I personally don't know why they would think it's bad for him to talk to Tucker Carlson. This guy's trying to liberate the media, man. He's trying to put out real factual stuff.
And that's what you want to, you know what I'm saying? You have to listen to the other side. We watched something and it was like, if there's ever like an argument
and the one person will not even listen to the other side at all, there's no point in arguing.
Yeah, you'll be a fool. It says in the Bible, you'll be a fool if you continue to argue.
I think they're talking about Warren.
You know, it's like, this is what it's all about. Let's talk about it.
I was reminded of the same thing.
Hey, and you know, I've been shut
out. Wait, that sounds like right-wing extremism and whataboutism.
But I've been shut out. You know, some platforms will not have me on.
Wow. Why?
That's crazy.
They don't like that I'm, you know, an independent thinker.
Wow.
I'm not part of the herd. I'm okay. not part wow. of the go along to get along gang. So, you know, I'm an outsider. And so, you know, I'm not part of the club.
I like
so that. I have to go places for one that I'm welcome
yeah.
and where I can voice my opinion without somebody, you know, saying I'm a bad person and that they never want to have me on their platform again.
What platforms have banned you?
I've been, you know, I tried to go on The View.
That's crazy.
On The View. Why?
Speaking of the devil.
Well, a few of the guests just really didn't like where I was coming from. So,
because it kept being real.
Or a few of the hosts, I mean. So that's what I was told by the producers. You know, I don't know if the producers was just copping out and using some of the hosts to not have me come on and explain myself, but
you'd be a good booking for them.
I've been on there before.
Yeah.
You know, it's just when I've became an independent thinker, when I've, you know, I'm not
staying with the truth.
You know, I don't follow their brand of politics, I guess.
Yep.
But if you can't think for yourself, then you're not really free, are you?
No, you're not. You're not. But I've been excluded. I've been excluded on Oprah, you know. I've been excluded. Yeah, man.
I would think you'd be the person Oprah would want to promote. I mean, you grew up in South Central. You were successful at a young age. You have dignity. You say what you think. Like, I thought that was the goal.
Me too. You know, I don't know what it is, but, you know, several of my, you know, I had a movie called Barbershop, you know.
Yeah, I remember.
That I wasn't invited to participate with the cast.
Well,
I produced a show called Black White, and it was a very controversial show. And once again, they had the whole cast on, but I wasn't invited. So I don't know.
On Oprah's show.
Yeah. So I don't know what that's.
But Oprah is obviously a saintly, godlike figure who's revered by all decent people. Why would she exclude you?
Tucker,
I really don't know. You know, that's something that I would love to find out. But I can't tell you, you know, if there's a single thing that I've done or said to her.
Have you noticed that it is more controversial to criticize Oprah than to burn the American flag?
Really?
Wow.
Seems that way.
Well, Pianchi, I put you in the Ice Cube category.
Well, what they did to Ice Cube is racism.
Yep.
And until people start calling it like it is, you're still going to continue to have these problems in this particular case. What The View, Oprah, it's racist. They've done it to Cinnamon. Well, have Cinnamon done it to them? What do you think they would call Cinnamon? It's racist.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good interview, but I like it with these guys. And I think they're all brothers. There could be a cousin in there. I don't know. But they do. They'll stop it and they'll discuss what they just heard and then go on to the rest of the tape. And I learn with them, or they're learning me, whatever. But young guys gives you hope. Gives you hope. And Ice Cube, I'll tell you what, he's a smart cat, man. He is smart. So that's a good interview.
You know, like the view talking about slaves didn't benefit from slavery. Well, that's a damn lie. There's a whole book on instances where these people had businesses ranging from pharmacy, real estate, transportation, shipping, restaurateurs from 1600 through 1865. So they lying. And you know the thing about it is that these politicians, like DeSantis holding firm, but some of these politicians, these white politicians, become all of a sudden apologetic. That's because they don't know what the hell they talking about.
Yeah, they do apologize. You're right. Like the man from Alabama, Tupperfield, or Tupperville, I can't remember, used to be the coach of Auburn. He apologized. I think that was when he called somebody a colored man, was Tupperville. And he apologized. And why? I don't know why. He caught a lot of hell, I'll tell you that. And he got
what is
got
the
eight. He got
they joined at one organization, that's the National Association for the Advancement of who?
Yeah, colored people. Come on.
There you go.
Hell yeah. Damn. I don't know. Everything's to change, Bianchi. You know that.
Well, they change because people are ignorant on both sides.
Yeah.
And you got a lot of white progressives that's pushing this, and blacks are being bamboozled.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I sent you a text message on the those blacks that had their own Indianapolis 500. I can't think of the name of it. I sent it to you.
Yeah.
They own Indianapolis 500.
And you go back to the 1800s, 1700s, they were great tool makers. They had to make their own tools, a lot of them. When something breaks, they had to figure out how to make it. And blacksmiths.
Ellison was making cotton gins and selling them to the planters in the South, in Mississippi even.
I think there's only one cotton gin I know of, and that's in Elkmont, Alabama. And they used to see them all over down in the South, but now, of course, they don't use it anymore, but they haven't tore it down, as far as I know, anyway. But that's pretty...
And Eli Whitney was not black. He was white.
What?
Eli Whitney was not a black man. He was white.
I thought he was black.
Who told you that?
I don't know. I've never seen a picture of him. Well, I've seen like a sketch of him, but I never seen a picture of him. I really did think Eli Whitney was black. Man. Oh,
I did
by
too.
The way, did you?
Yeah.
By the way, I called critics number the other day, 2 days ago, and it's no longer in service and nobody's got the number yet, but just wanted to see. Didn't mean to bring everybody down, but.
Hell, Harriet Tubman was a well-to-do woman.
Yeah.
I think she came out of Virginia. Her first husband was receiving a pension from the Union. She married another young man, a Tenderoni, moved to Albany, New York, where she built a big orchard and had a large building that was a hotel, and the down floor was for convention-like activities. It burned down, and she built another one out of modern materials. Is she a slave?
Hmm. Right.
She was a slave.
Yeah. I think
go to work. Malcolm X said that he learned why he was in slavery, why he was in prison. Don't they say prison is slavery? Don't they read like that in the Constitution?
Yeah, it's same thing as far as I'm concerned. you do what you're told and when you're told to do it. Yeah. Yeah.
So when you're on the job, don't people call that slavery?
I thought I was in slavery working for General Motors all those years.
Mm-hmm.
But not near as bad as it was for the folks that
but
were.
I see where that lady done that false police report, Russell. She's going to have to pay that money. And she needed to go to prison.
Yeah. She.
Yeah, the what you're talking about, the woman that said she was kidnapped, somebody grabbed her and from her car and stuff.
Yeah, a little kid on the expressway.
In Alabama. They wanted to hear her say it was white males. Oh, boy, that would go good, wouldn't it? Alabama, white supremacists, kidnapping a black woman.
Yeah, that's the only thing that she didn't say. I thought that, I don't know what they're going to do with her. I really don't know.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I watched a video on that, and, like, she, like, they started to pick apart her story because apparently she had just gone to the store and gotten some groceries, and so, but apparently she was abducted. She tried to make it look like, you know, I mean, her cell phone, stuff like that. So she left that stuff behind. And, you know, so for somebody that was suddenly kidnapped from her car and dragged into a van, the kidnappers made sure to grab her couple bags of groceries that she just bought.
Yeah.
You know, the kind of couple of bags of groceries that would last her for a couple of days if she was going to hide out, you know.
yeah.
Like, just some things about her story isn't adding up.
Yeah, that's something. Yeah. I don't know. Doing that in Alabama might be a little different than doing it in Chicago, so we'll have to see. I don't know what they're going to do. I know they sent it to the prosecutor.
Yeah, no, she's been arrested and charged.
Okay.
She was charged with filing
a false report.
Yep. And falsely reporting an incident. So she's each charge carries up to $6,000 on conviction and a year in jail.
Well, she might be sick, to do something like that. You might not give her some help or something.
Now, the girls at work, and I didn't research this, but the girls at work said that she did it because her boyfriend was going to break up with her.
Well, I heard that, and I also heard that she had a boyfriend on the side, and she wanted to spend time with her boyfriend on the side. But I think the first one, make him jealous. I think that's probably what happened. I don't know. Something like that, I don't know how you think you can get away with it. I guess she didn't get the memo about Jesse Smollett, whatever damn his name was.
Smollett. Yeah.
Yeah, and the humiliation you go through doing something like that when you get caught, I don't know. But, Bianchi, you smelled a rat as soon as it came out.
Yeah, I told you they were hoping that they could Association of White Males with it so they can continue on their white supremacy and white nationalist rants like that.
Yeah.
They were just waiting, man. They waking up 2 and 3 in the morning checking the news.
Oh, man.
The big thing that besides her parents, which have got to be absolutely mortified,
yeah,
and pissed. I mean, I would be pissed if I thought my kid gone for 48 hours was really in danger. I'd be pissed a half an hour after I thought they were in danger, and they weren't. There was a family of a girl that got abducted in Alabama, not too far, not a different city, but not too far away from her, and she was found 2 weeks later killed. But that mom reached out to her family right away.
Oh, wow. Really?
And was helping, helping them to push police to investigate to find her. I thought, oh, man, that poor other mother.
Now, how much money was raised? Does anybody know? I hear it was quite
remember.
A bit.
It was a lot.
And the chief of police said, once everything is settled, if she wasn't, this is before they found, really knew she wasn't kidnapped. I think everybody knew it, but it wasn't official yet. He said they would all get their money back. So I don't know. It was quite a bit.
Well, I can see I guess they should get their money back, but she should pay. That sounds like one of those $600,000 costs for the police and all the other departmental authorities to get involved with that. At least $650,000.
And there was a kidnapping. Isn't the FBI involved in the kidnapping?
FBI is involved in it. That might take it up over $1 million. Then she needs to get some jail time for lying. Unlike Jussie Smollett, slap on the wrist.
Now, doesn't he have to go back to court? He hasn't fulfilled all his prison time.
It won't amount to nothing.
No. He got a year, I think it was. Yeah, but he hadn't been in there a year. I don't know if he still is. He's suing city of Chicago. I guess he just won't give it up. He wants people to believe it really happened.
Well, I wonder if he was coached by Michelle, I see that Cook made his fate.
Oh, boy. What is up with chefs working for ex-presidents? That's Clinton.
You think he was banging Michelle while Obama was out of town?
Or banging Obama?
You had a point there. Maybe Michelle had it done in.
Oh, yeah, but boy, they're not releasing anything on this. I guess there was another person with him. They won't tell who it is. I don't know, but Clinton's chef was found dead. Something's going on with these chefs. I don't know. They get information or something. I don't know. Cinnamon said they hear things when they're a chef, and I don't know how, but they might. They always end up dead. But it's not like the one in Clinton, in Clintonville down there in Arkansas, where the guy was found hanging with a shotgun blast to the chest and a suicide note. I still can't figure out how in the hell they think that's suicide, how he got away with it. How do you hang yourself and shoot? Well, I guess you could. I guess you could put the noose around your neck and then fire the shotgun into your chest and it'll blow you off the chair or whatever you're standing on. I guess you could do that. I said, somebody sent me something today. I don't even know where it's from. It showed a man found his wife with another man out front of, it looks like a restaurant. He shoots the guy, and she just goes wild. She's screaming and jumped. She got on top of the man that was down, her boyfriend, then gets up and tries to get the gun away from the guy, and then he puts another bullet in him, and then he turns around and, you know, after a minute, and he shoots himself in the head in front of her. So she was really responsible for two guys being dead. If she kept her damn legs closed, none of this would have ever happened. But man, you can hear it, bam. You had to be there, guys. Pretty graphic.
Yeah.
We have brought this conversation to a dead halt. President Trump was, like I said, I had a rally. Go ahead, someone. However that was. Oh.
Oh, I was just going to say, what do you think about Sinead O'Connor passing away? Only 56 years old.
Oh, I didn't know she passed away.
Yeah.
When was that?
Yeah, no cause of death listed that I've seen so far, but, you know, sometimes that can take a few days before that happens. Apparently, CNN... yesterday said Sinead O'Connor told her kids what to do if she was found dead.
You know, I read that too, but that was a few days ago. It was an article about that.
We were talking about that at work, and most of us didn't even know, I didn't know, that she had other kids besides the son that committed suicide.
I don't know either, but I know one thing, she'd have to put on a wig.
London police said Thursday that no cause of death is being released yet, but they are not treating it as suspicious.
Oh, let me get Alabama on. I don't know which one this is. Spinning. Daniel, I'm going to guess.
No. Damn. Guess again. Hey, Kathy. Hey.
Hey, Kathy. Always good to hear from you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I love your shows, too, Laurie. Daniel and I listen to them on Sunday night. But I'd like to bring something up. Y'all was mentioning about kidnapping earlier.
Mm-hmm.
One of our hospice nurses lives in another county over. And she was telling me one day, she was at home, her sister was there, her 8-year-old daughter was outside, and she heard the dogs barking, and she went running out there. There was a woman dressed in black out there near her daughter, so they ran out there, you know, and chased the woman off, but they knew where she lived. She lived in some trailer down the road, so she calls the police, and they go and investigate. This woman in black was trying to kidnap this little girl, 8 years old. The police found evidence in the trailer. They already had the little girl sold for $50,000.
Wow.
And they also found drugs and paraphernalia and all that stuff in the trailer. But they found evidence that her little girl was already sold for $50,000. So this human trafficking thing, kidnapping, it's real, and it's right next door to us, you know?
Yes,
so,
I agree.
I know someone that it almost happened to. The dogs barking alerted her to go look out front and see what the kids were doing. And
thank God for the dogs.
Thank goodness for the dogs, yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's a real situation nobody really wants to talk about.
Mm-mm.
No, Hollywood just banned the hell out of that movie, Sound of Freedom.
They did. Well,
nothing to do with it.
Another episode, it was about a year ago, and I read about it on Facebook. This happened right here in the town where I live, Donnie. Mm. And some girl had put it on Facebook, or her mother did. The young teenager was at Walmart, And she noticed two men following her around in Walmart. And she hurried up and she ran to her car and locked the doors, and they followed her to the car, you know, but she had the doors locked, and she took off. So, I mean, this thing is real, and it's happening right under our noses.
Yeah, and you don't hear about it. You really
not
don't hear.
No, not in the papers, you know, not on your local news station, you know. Mm-mm. You don't.
I get an Amber Alert when something like that happens in Michigan. But that's
yeah,
it. When you don't hear anything else. You know?
Yeah. A lot of times when it's a teenager, though, they drag their feet a bit and consider her being, or him, being a runaway.
Yeah. Right. And they say, you get, give them 24 hours. Well, hell, in 24 hours, they could be out of the country.
Well, that's what they do. That's what I've read. Children they kidnap here in this country, they take them overseas. You know, and then those from overseas, they bring them over here. You know.
And these
kids. Parents. I'm
go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Parents never see their children again. Never. Because they're in another country. They've been kidnapped for
that's
human trafficking.
That's what you think happened, that little girl. Man, it was in the news for a long time. Overseas, the parents went to
that.
Party, you know, right outside the hotel room. And somebody
they were at a resort, weren't they? At a resort. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember
they're
that.
They're still investigating
looking.
That.
Yeah.
I mean, that girl should be like in her 20s now, maybe, late 20s. That's been a long time ago.
I don't think she's
you know
that
what
old.
It's going to take to stop it?
What?
Public execution.
There you go.
Yep, that's it. Public execution.
What'd you say? What'd you
public
say? Hanging?
Hanging?
Whatever you say.
Right in the town square. All three network TV news and all the cable news have to show it.
Well, that and these drug pushers too, they need to execute them. Y'all remember what Trump said? He asked Xi Jinping how come they didn't have any drug problems in China. He
yeah.
said we. Arrest them, we try them, and we hang them.
Yeah.
Or we execute them.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what it's going to take.
Yeah. That is. I think that you're right, Pianchi. I think that's exactly what it's going to take. And
if these prosecutors don't like it, put them in there with them.
Just like this man at Target today, older lady bumped him a couple times with her cart in line at the checkout. He got out of line, left his cart, but walked over to an empty cart, picked it up over his head and threw it at her and hit her in the head. Oh, that took care of that. And there you go. That was
did you
his
see
way.
That?
Yeah.
You saw that.
Yeah. I saw it. I mean, it was on the internet. I mean, it was today.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I didn't see it live. No. I didn't mean
that. Oh, okay.
Make you think
well, you
that.
Still saw it actually happen.
Yeah, that was...
Way back when we had a toilet tissue shortage, I saw some videos, some women down on the floor fighting over this toilet tissue. One of them had several packs in her buggy. The other one wanted one. There weren't any on the shelves, and they were actually fighting over that.
Yeah. Another you know, if you're fighting over toilet paper, wait till there's a food shortage. You're going to have to wear a gun to the store.
No joke.
Yeah. Now, I saved this to play for you, Kathy. It's from Representative Nancy Mace of South Carolina. And it came out today, but I saved it just for you.
Joining us now to open up the program, we have the one and only Congresswoman Nancy Mace from the great state of South Carolina. Congresswoman, really want to thank you for joining us here on Breitbart News Saturday. And we got a lot to talk about here.
Thank you so much, and thanks for having me on, and thanks for everything that you guys do for patriots around the country.
Okay, so let's start with the hearing this week on UFOs that you guys had. David Grush, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, Grush or Grush,
yes.
Who's a former intelligence official and whistleblower, testified before you this week, and he testified to you during this committee hearing that the U.S. government has had for years, for decades, unidentified anomalous phenomena, and they've retrieved non-human remains from various flying objects. Pretty unbelievable testimony to hear from a former intelligence official. Walk us through what you heard and where things are at. I mean, it seems like, you know, you've got whistleblowers now testifying to Congress that we're not alone in the universe.
Right. It's sort of jaw-dropping. And how do you come back from that? Like, how do you follow up from that, too? But the thing is, I mean, it's not only is he a former intelligence officer, but he's a retired military officer. And so he's got very legitimate credentials coming to Congress before us and making these claims and these statements. And one of the other things that he did is he said that he would follow up with me after the hearing to provide a list of future witnesses, both friendly and hostile, that could corroborate the information that he was bringing forward. And much of what he was talking about was classified, so he had to be, you know, limited on what he said. But at the end of the day, I don't think this is really about little green men. This is about government transparency versus government secrecy. It's about misappropriation of funds. How much money is being spent? What's it being spent on? And are government agencies hiding anything from Congress and therefore hiding it from the American people? The American people deserve the right to know. It's about national security. It's about technology. Is this AI driven? Have we as a government developed our AI to such an advanced level? For example, I think it's about energy. If you can defy the law, if the laws of physics and gravity are being defied in the way that these pilots have told us is being defied, then who has the power to create that kind of energy? Do we have that technology, or is it our adversaries? I mean, I have so many burning questions following up from that that the American people deserve the right to know. It's their money that's being invested.
Right. So these various programs, whether you're talking about Area 51 or Roswell or, you know, I don't know where else their things might be. I mean, these things have been around for decades, right? Like, I mean, you know, there's been movies about this and stories about this forever. But the point is that you're right that this is about government transparency. I think we're at a stage now where the government should be honest with the public about what they know.
And they're not. They're just not.
And they're not, right? Like, and so, and we're seeing these unidentified aerial phenomena, right? Like, I mean, these things are flying through the sky. Pilots are identifying them. I mean, this is happening. Like, that's not a that's not up for debate. Now, as for whether they're like alien spacecraft, different question. But like, I mean, at a certain point, I think the government needs to be honest with the public about this.
Oh, 100%. And, you know, I get really frustrated whether we're in hearings. I mean, I sat in the chair as the subcommittee chairman of the Cybersecurity Committee on Oversight on Wednesday, and I literally cursed out my government witness because the guy that I asked to show up refused to show up. He sent one of his underlings who refused to answer our questions and then laughed at us because these guys, these bureaucrats, they never get fired. They never lose their jobs. No one ever goes to jail. They're never held accountable, and they're mocking our institutions. And I was in a skiff yesterday morning. I was with a number of three-letter agencies, and 95% of the information they shared with us was completely open source, wasn't even classified. And they make a mockery out of your representatives that you have voted in and hired to represent you in Congress by just obfuscating and hiding. And they know they can get away with it. Nobody is ever held accountable. And I just, it's extraordinarily frustrating. I just call it like I see it. I walk in, I ask questions, I ask tough questions. I just want the truth. And even if our government has made mistakes or messed up or wasted billions of dollars, we just want to know and we want to improve the system and be completely transparent and accountable to the American people. But nobody seems to want to do that.
Right. But also, I mean, if they really have, as this guy testified, found non-human biological remains as pilots of these things.
Yeah. Wild.
I mean, but it's going to be the biggest story in history. I mean, the government has been covering up evidence of extraterrestrial life for decades, if this guy is telling the truth, I think.
Right. And I have talked to a number of pilots over the years long before I was in Congress. A lot of these pilots see stuff, and sometimes it could be a light refraction. You're going so fast, you're over water, things look weird. But then some of it is completely unexplained. And as you said, if this is really going on, it'll be the biggest story in history, not just U.S. history, but world history. But the bigger thing is, too, is do these programs exist? How much money are we spending on them? Who knows about them? And why can't Congress be informed about what's really going on in this country? And it's just, it's deeply frustrating because of all the cover-ups that we see, the corruption, the amount of money that's wasted. I mean, it's just, it's very frustrating.
Right. Okay. So Congresswoman, shifting gears here a little bit, there's a lot of other news that happened this week. Thursday night, we heard that the special counsel's office of the Department of Justice brought new charges against former President Trump, added a new defendant to the documents case. We know that they're intending to bring different charges in a different case against him, that we were waiting for that on Thursday. It didn't happen on Thursday. It might happen as soon as next week. The whole situation with Hunter Biden and his plea deal blowing up in court, where a federal judge picked it apart and called it off. And then he was going to go in there and plead guilty as part of this sweetheart plea deal that was going to give him lifelong immunity for everything. And then the judge picks the whole thing apart, and then the Hunter ends up pleading not guilty, and that whole thing's on delay. What do you think about all of this and this whole two-tier system of justice that we're witnessing?
Well, and I've been one to call it straight on both sides. I'll call it like I see it. That's why I get in trouble with both sides sometimes. But I think I'm very credible on this because every time
– All right. We won't go into that, but there you go, Kathy. I don't know if you missed a hearing or not. I'm sure you did.
I did.
Oh, did you?
And that whistleblower also said that his life has been threatened for coming forward.
Well,
yeah, and it's
even
more than two tier. It's about three or four tier. Watch how this Russell gets spanked on the hand. Watch how she gets spanked. Look, you seen Smollett get spanked on the hand. You're talking about three or four tier forms of justice.
Yeah. We'll wait
look
and
at
see
New
on
York
that.
Giving the protesters that tore up stuff, burned down buildings and stuff, giving them reparations.
Yeah.
They're getting $10,000 apiece.
Oh, boy. Oh, man. I tell you, California's still talking to doing that. They'll have everybody in California. They'll be leaving every place to get to California.
My big thing is, that I was thinking about is, remember when we had the big immigration rushes where Ellis Island was absolutely flooded with people coming in?
Yeah.
Are all those families going to be exempt from having to pay reparations?
No, everybody pays.
Let's see, that's not fair.
Well,
people that came over here in the potato famine. Well, what the hell? They had nothing to do with slavery. They were over here and they were poor and starved and they were treated like crap for a generation.
But also I want the people that fought on the north side, I want them, their families to get reparations too. There was white and black and Mexican fighting in against slavery. So why shouldn't they get some money? They gave their life.
If they gave their life, then they didn't have, supposedly well, didn't have children to go
well, why
along.
Wouldn't they? Are you sure they did? Sure they did.
I know.
A lot of them.
Usually what they say.
A lot of 14 and 15-year-old kids were fighting on both sides. But that was a lot more about than slavery at war.
Is Lorianne still there?
Yeah, I think. Oh, hold on. She's got another show to go to.
Oh,
no.
I
want to
bring
She's gone.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, she's gone. She's going to try to merge Robert's show with our show. I don't know if that's going to, you know, if Robert wants to do that, I don't know. But that's what she's going to try to do.
Her guest Sunday night, that Dave Champion, he brought up something, and I'd never heard of it before, but it makes sense. Rosa Parks, y'all remember her, her name, happened to her. Well, Dave says that all of that was planned out. He said a bunch of lawyers got together. The police were in on it. You know, they were. It was a plan to do that. It wasn't just something that just happened. You know, where she gets on the bus and sits down, and some white dude walks up to her, tells her to get up and give him her seat. You know, this day says that was planned because it made a big ruckus. I mean, it was a big deal. So the laws would be changed, see?
Mm-hmm.
They were. You know, a lot of laws were changed. When a woman is asked to get up and give a white man her seat, you know. But Dave says that that was a plan thing that they did. The police officer, Rosa was in on it. The police officer ran on it, you know. And
I never heard that.
I hadn't either.
I have.
So the other night on Lori's show, I was
Is that the guy that talks about the taxes? About
yes.
Not him. Okay.
IRS. Yes.
No, I never heard that before. Cinnamon, you said you have?
Yeah.
Now you have.
That's one thing I haven't heard before. Now, we got a lot of people on the switchboard. If you want to join the conversation, push 1 on your keypad, and I will try to get you on.
That wasn't planned.
I don't think
what,
so. Young?
Rosa Parks was standing at the bus stop. The bus driver wouldn't stop for her. So a white woman lived across the street, got off the porch, went over and stood by the bus stop. And when the bus stopped for her, Rosa Parks got on several times.
Yeah.
Those buses was owned by the National City Lines, which was General Motors. And the boycott only went on where the buses served in the black community. Arthur P. Sloan was the president of General Motors. Rockefeller was the president of Standard Oil. And you had Goodyear Tire.
Right.
They went to Eisenhower and wanted to support him on the national highway system. Why? Well, it meant General Motors cars, Firestone tires, and Rockefeller oil. Now, being a nice person that Eisenhower was, He probably told Sloan, would you end that strike in Birmingham? It was his buses. They owned the buses across the nation. Matter of fact, they owned electric streetcars, too.
Friend of mine, my guy I used to work with, he owns three national buses, and two of them came from Alabama.
Absolutely. One of them still there in King's Memorial there at that, what is that hotel? I can't think of it. Lorraine Hotel.
Lorraine, yeah.
So that's how it came to an end. And we know we got a highway system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we used to travel.
For them, they would have, and make matters worse, Shuttlesworth, who was with the organization that brought King to Birmingham, and another man by the name, a black man by the name of E.D. Nixon. E.D. Nixon wanted to go over to Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and talk to the people who owned the SAFE, S-A-F-E bus line, which was a black bus line, and bring it to Alabama. And that way it wouldn't have to, you know, worry with the national. But King and them didn't want to do it. Now, that may be what your conspiracy was. You can find the SAFE bus line, Google it. It just finally went out of business in about the 1970s, 1974. SAFE.
Never heard of it. Never heard of it.
Now, what school did you go to?
I remember two-lane highways driving to Alabama while I wasn't driving. My dad was. Took 18, 19 hours to get to Alabama, I'll tell you that. And damn. And then that expressway, that was nice. Cut off about, 8-7 hours. Very nice. Keep up the good work, Eisenhower. Very nice. I said very nice. Okay.
Very nice.
Very nice. I don't know.
Except
if
in Michigan. You hit the Michigan line.
Yeah. Might as well be in a two-lane highway, the way that feels.
Hey, Donnie.
Hey.
Remember that summer y'all come down and your air conditioner went out?
Yeah.
And I gave you that little fan you plug into your cigarette lighter.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That's all I had to give you.
Yeah. Didn't work with a damn, but it blew a little bit of air around.
Well, that's what I used in my mail truck all those years, too, so.
Oh.
And I was thankful for it.
Yes, I drove a mail truck in Alabama. I'd be thankful for any kind of air.
I know.
Okay, hold on. Laura Loomer? Oh, Laura Loomer. She ran for Congress in Florida. She sent this. I don't know what the hell this is. Oh, they're all drinking beer. This is DeSantis. I like the song in the background, though.
Normally, like, I know you got to do events, but, like,
I don't know what the hell he's saying. He's got a beer in his hand. I don't know what he's saying.
I've seen on the internet that DeSantis has laid off a third of his staff.
He fired them. He didn't lay them off. Why? He fired them.
He fired them? Why?
Yeah, because I guess, he sunk into the, or he's about to lose his backing. Is backing these billionaires that backed him with all these millions to get him started, and he spent almost all of it in Iowa and New Hampshire, and he got nothing out of it. He got no boost, nothing, and all the all the polls, and there was, I think they showed six on Trump's rally today, and every one of them, all but two, he's in third place, not second place behind Trump. He's in third place, and Trump is winning. One poll says 62% over 10% for DeSantis, and it's like that all the way across the board, 52, 53 to 9 or 10. One had him at 9, and they told him, if you don't do something, we're going to stop supporting your candidacy with money. And
who's two?
I don't know.
Who's number two?
I can't pronounce his name unless I see his name. He's number two.
Oh. He's not even qualified to run.
Well, he's running.
Did y'all see Mitch McConnell freeze during a
They had to move him out of the podium there. What the hell was that about?
I don't know.
And yeah. Supposedly he fell on his face a couple of days earlier.
He's fallen. Now we're hearing it, but before we hadn't heard anything about it. And Dianne Feinstein.
Oh, no.
You see that? They were voting for something, and her aide had to nudge her, you know, hey. She grabbed some papers and picked them up and started reading them, and then they said, well, all we need is a yay or a nay.
Oh, man.
Oh, they're talking about... Center? They're talking about term limits now. She's like
never
90 years old.
Yeah. Nothing like that's going to happen unless they have get the states involved. And people are joining. Convention of states.
Yeah.
And she ended up with shingles, and it went to her eyes. And I think it affected her brain. Yeah.
Oh, is that what affected her brain?
Yeah, that's why she was out for so long, was because of the shingles, and she got it very bad.
Or so they say.
Yeah.
But this was maybe a year or two ago. Daniel said that he saw one of these Nancy Drew videos that she puts out. The Convention of States had a meeting in D.C. because they had all the flags, the state flags, out for them. You know, when we have a foreign dignitary come over here, they fly their nation's flag in D.C., you know. But this Convention of States, Daniel said that old guard is the ones that puts the flags out. They're the only ones that does that.
Hmm.
That was a year and a half, maybe two, when they had that meeting in D.C. And all the states that are part, what is it, 34, 38 states are members of the convention. Bianchi knows that. Bianchi, what do you know? How many states are members of the Convention of States?
Yeah, I have 34 to call the convention, 38 to ratify it.
Well, now, how many members are there in the Convention of States?
It can be a million of them if you want, but only one state, a state has only one vote.
Yeah. Well, what
right
I'm thinking
now
about,
right now it's about over 6 million across the country and growing.
I'm talking about the states, of the 50 states.
You got either 19 or 20 states.
That's all? Huh.
Yeah.
Wow. I did see a list one time, the ones that were and the ones that were pending, you know. So I don't, and Alabama wasn't one of them.
Yeah, Alabama is one.
I hope, because I cannot stand our governor.
Alabama's one. It's just Michigan is not there. Hopefully it'll come on. Some of the northeastern states is not in there.
The northeastern. I'm going to say, bet you Texas is in there.
Texas is in there too, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, Texas.
Texas, Louisiana, Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi.
About Florida?
Yeah, I think Florida's in there.
All right. I can look that up sometimes.
Yeah, just go to COS.org, and they'll have a map there.
Yeah, I saw that one time, but it's been a long time ago.
Somebody sent this to me in a message on X, and it's for you and Kathy and Daniel. It's Naomi Biden. And it's 48 seconds. Let me make sure I don't blow my head off when I turn it on. Here we go.
I'm going to do it anyway. My grandfather, Joe Biden, does have a twin. And that twin is currently pretending to be Joe Biden in the White House. So, unfortunately, my grandfather, Joe Biden, passed away about 4 years ago. But, you know, he had built up this really long political career, and my family still wanted to have a bit of power in the U.S. government. So we just replaced Joe with his twin brother, Bo.
Bo and Joe.
I heard that a long time ago. I saw a video of her. I think sent it to you, honey.
Well, if you sent it to Facebook.
Everything I see that proves you that that ain't Joe Biden, that he died in 2019 or was taken out in 2019, more like it. You know, everything I sent it to you to convince you that that is not Joe Biden.
Yeah, I seen somebody showed a picture of or tape of him scratching the back of his neck. It looked like it was rubber.
I sent that to you. It was a big crease in the back of his neck.
Yeah.
A big crease. I've seen him, whenever he's on TV, I'll get real right up there in the TV, real close, and just look and see if I see anything. One time I saw a picture of him, he had a big bump on his chin, you know, on his chin, a big bump. And I told Daniel the other day, I said, man, he must not have no whiskers at all. I mean, his face looks like a baby's bottom. Look how smooth. I know they put makeup on him too. I know. But I've never seen any signs of whiskers on his face. I mean, look at him next time, you know. And he doesn't sweat, never sweats. You never see sweat on him. And if that is a mask, that's going to explain why he has no whiskers or he doesn't sweat. You're not going to see it. Because I don't think it's him. I don't. And I haven't for a long time.
Well. Okay, you'd be the only one, I think.
think so, my dear.
No, maybe not.
A lot of other people that believe he's gone, too. There's just no way in hell that the most powerful country in the world is going to have a nut like that, you know, falling, not remembering what he's saying. God bless the Queen. I mean, think about it.
Well, if that's his twin, he's not doing a very damn good job, is he?
They're doing it on purpose.
Is that what?
Like that Air Force Academy graduation that Biden was at, and he was speaking. When he got through, he walked to the left, and he fell. Watch that. I mean, watch it again and again.
I have.
Was not accident. That man deliberately fell, got up, looked at those guys, some men and women sitting behind him. They were laughing. They were laughing at him. He got up and looked at them, and they were laughing. That was deliberate.
Wow. I don't know why he would do that deliberately.
They're just doing it like God save the Queen. You know, why would he say something like that? You know, I mean, they're saying Kamala is in California talking about families are like $400 shy of being in bankruptcy, and then Biden is. Where was he at the last time? And he's talking about how great the economy is. I mean.
Yeah. He's got to say that, doesn't he?
Well, why isn't she? Why isn't she saying how great the economy is?
They don't want her to talk at all. If you notice, they pushed her right out of everything. She's just hanging out, pretty much. They're not using her at all.
Well, I think all this foolishness, this silliness that's been going on, I mean, they're doing this stuff on purpose. I don't know if they're trying to make a fool out of the Bidens. I don't know. You know, I don't know.
Well, they've
it's
already
funny,
made
though.
A
Everybody laughed at it.
They already made a everybody in the United States looked foolish for having him as president. I believe that. Definitely believe that.
The ones that actually voted for him.
Here's Bo or Joe, whichever way you go. Here we go.
So you think that everything that happened was kosher? You know there's not one single bit of evidence, not one little tiny bit, to suggest anything done was wrong. You know that. But you keep asking me these questions. It's okay. You're doing what you have to do. But I'm not worried about it. Look, the American public knows me. So you think that everything that happened was kosher? You know there's not one...
Okay, we already heard you. Bo or Joe, whatever you're going by nowadays. Don't know. Here's our president of the United States.
I fully rebuilt the U.S. military, created Space Force, defeated ISIS, and was the first president in decades who didn't start a war. In fact, I got us out of those lingering, horrible 20-year wars. We were getting out of Afghanistan very powerfully with dignity and strength. In fact, I spoke to the leader of the Taliban, and from that time on, not one American soldier was killed. 18 months, not one soldier was killed until Biden came along and ended up giving them $85 billion worth of equipment, left many Americans behind. We lost 13 incredible lives and many, many badly wounded. The most embarrassing, I think, moment in the history of our country. And because of that, I believe that was the incentive for Vladimir Putin to invade Ukraine when he saw the incompetence of our military and our leadership more than anything else. The whole Afghanistan mess, what a shame it was. I fully rebuilt the U.S. military, created...
Okay, we heard you. Now, here's another candidate for the president of the United States.
Because, you know, he had a business, he had businesses in New Jersey.
Whoa.
When I was governor. He had casinos in Atlantic City, and they went bankrupt 3 times. Now, let me ask you something. How stupid do you have to be to lose money in a casino? The only people who lose money in a casino are us. I remember when the first time I ever went to Atlantic City, my father took me there when Atlantic City was the only other place other than Nevada that had casinos. And I went in to the casino, and I was 18 years old, so I was allowed to play. And I won $50 playing blackjack. I thought I was the hottest thing in the world. And my father said, well, let's go for a walk outside for a little while. We'll take a break. So he took me outside, and we were walking on the boardwalk in Atlantic City. And he said, I want you to see all the – you look at all these big, beautiful hotels? I said, yeah. And he goes, they don't build those because you win. But even with that advantage, Donald Trump had to go bankrupt 3 times.
Gee. And he used to be a Trump supporter, and Trump didn't appoint him and put him up for attorney general or the head of the DOJ. And that was the end of it. Now he's against him. Yep, he called him stupid, too, for doing that. Well, we had a lot of conversation going. See, when you don't have Lori Ann, we kind of stop talking. Let me get Daniel on. What happened in my chat room? There we go.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Hello, Daniel.
I just wanted to say real quick the thing about whoever's playing Joe Biden. Think about this. We all watched him go up the airplane steps, correct?
Right.
Yeah.
And okay, what? How old is he now? 82?
80.
What 80-year-old do you know trots up the stairs that quick? And if you miss a step, you quickly catch yourself with your left hand, still run up 3 more, drop again, catch yourself again, do it 3 times. What 80-year-old do you know that freaking can do that? There is no one.
Wow.
Well, and the bicycle. What about the bicycle? No 80-year-olds even ride bicycles, but our president does, or y'all's president, not mine.
Well, Daniel, there are some 80-year-olds that stay, you know, in shape. Not many.
Okay,
but,
well, this clown, whoever he is not one of them.
I mean, he just fell right off that bicycle. Didn't even scratch himself.
Right.
Well, when my dad was 80 years old, he would go over to that one of those tracks and walk or run and play basketball.
He did.
He sure did.
He did.
So, yeah.
What did you say? He played basketball?
Yeah, he could play basketball. He would shoot from half court and make it more tons than he would miss it, believe it or not.
Wow. That's
well, Jasper stayed in shape. I mean, he did a lot of walking, Donnie. So he stayed limber and alert. You know.
And now they're going to do, he's going to come out like the back of the plane. They're not going to let him go down those long steps. He's going to go through the back where, you know, it's only a few.
Yeah, they had a different set of staircase made for him so they weren't so steep.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I guess they're going to have to carry that to every airport every time he travels, if he's going to travel. He didn't campaign before. I don't know if he's going to campaign now.
No, they got the basement ready for him.
Yeah,
right,
I
there
guess.
You go. That's where he's headed. I mean, but who else noticed? I know Mama did. I know I did. I know a few other thousand online did. But did any of y'all notice, I believe it was the last State of the Union address, where, I mean, this was a different person speaking. He made no gaffes. He knew where he was. He wasn't calling out dead people from the podium.
He spoke for about 40 minutes.
He spoke for a good 40 minutes without one screw-up.
Yeah.
And before then, they wouldn't even let him on TV because he was making so many gaffes. It just don't happen. Stuff like that doesn't happen.
It's not a coincidence.
No, not at all.
Hmm. No.
I mean, just, you know, a lot of people just, we tell you, it's in one ear and it's out the other, and you really don't think about it anymore. You just think, well, they just don't think he's Joe Biden. Look at the stuff we're talking about. Take it serious. How can a man that... Every time that he gets up, or 80% of the time, he makes several gaffes, calls dead people out from the audience, you know, shakes hands with invisible people on the side of the stage that you don't even go up on stage on or go off. But it just so happened he runs a perfect 40-minute pretty good speech.
Well,
out
I think
from
they
nowhere.
I think they gave him some pep pill type things. And,
okay, you know what, Donnie? If that was right, they would be doing it more often.
I think that's why he calls it a day. You don't ever see him really at night talking at all because I think
that's right.
They gotta take him. Put him in his basement and put him to bed. And I think Jill takes care of the Secret Service and Hunter. I think they're together, actually. But I don't know. I don't know. It's weird.
I don't either.
But I don't think there's a double. I think that's Joe Biden, all dumb ass. He's always been stupid. He's always lied. And, wow, that jet just lifted right off that carrier. That's amazing. Anyway.
One of those sea sprays or something?
I don't know, but it's pretty amazing. It shoots a rocket out. Yeah. Wow. Then you know we can you know where we got that technology. Now if they can do that, they can do a spaceship because that's what a spaceship does. But I haven't seen it go forward or nothing, but it goes straight up in the air. Wow, I never seen that before. Mm.
Yeah,
did you hear that? I guess you watched the hearing they had on UFOs, right?
I didn't. You know, this stuff's been going on forever, though. They've been having hearings. It's just now people are catching it on the mainstream media. These hearings have been going on since the beginning of time. They're just now letting the masses know about it.
Yeah. And people are sending me all kinds of stuff. Here's the guy I want him to be vice president is Byron Donald. He is straightforward, straight shooter. I really like this guy.
If you want to take a look at impeachment number one, it was based upon a phone call between President Trump and President Zelensky of Ukraine talking about potential issues of corruption around Burisma concerning Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. What have we learned? That it's all true, that there was political corruption between Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and Burisma in Ukraine. The Biden family was paid. Joe Biden used his office to get the prosecutor looking into Burisma fired. So the fact that Nancy Pelosi led a fast impeachment with no evidence, all based upon a phone call, and by the way, the transcript was released, and that's all that occurred. There was no public corruption, but congressional Democrats voted for it anyway. It was pure politics. There was no basis. If you want,
you know, why can't they go back and rescind that? Oh, because they know now, and we knew then, but we know now for sure, everybody knows now for sure, that it was BS. Why can't they go back and rescind that, rescind those, okay, everybody awake?
Yeah, rescind what?
It is, oh my God, now I can't remember. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You told us. Told the statute of limitation. And you know, the reason why come those casinos fell is because the deal that the city said that it was going to perform, it reneged on them. That was revealed early.
Hmm.
You know, cities do that stuff. We're going to put in roads. We're going to put in sewers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all that crazy and all those things that they reneged on.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong if you're following the law to file bankruptcy. But what I was going to say, why can't they go back and rescind all those two impeachments that we know now and everybody knows now is BS? Why can't they rescind that? Take it off his record.
I'm sure they can.
I don't know if they can or not. I don't know if it's ever been done. I never heard of it being done. But what's to stop them? Can't they make the laws? No, they should do that. They should take those away. Those shouldn't even be there. What the hell is that noise? Who's pouring water? Whoops.
Hey, I was watching Newsmax the other night.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking about all this stuff that's, you know, they're trying to, still trying to, you know, pin felonies and silly stuff on Trump. And clearly what they're trying to pin on Trump is not, I mean, Newsmax was saying, you know, talking about it, it's not even a thousandth of what Hillary Clinton did.
Yeah.
So what they're talking about is, hey, if they go through with this, if they go through with possibly another impeachment, which would never happen with the Republican mm-hmm. House, but, you know, they're going to... They're going to start, you know, this two-tiered justice system they keep talking about. Well, a lot of the mainstream media is just talking about it. But the American people are seeing it and believing it now. And they are going to want blood. They are going to want Obama's blood. They're going to want, because, I mean, let's just admit it, first and foremost, if you haven't,
okay,
told yourself that he wasn't even eligible to run for president, you know, and then he was elected president. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know what? You're talking about treason alone with that. You don't even have to go into his records from school and all this and that, you know, that. And remember, I mean, you can pull the videos up on YouTube. When he ran for the Senate that first time, what did they say? What was his big deal? the first Kenyan-born senator ever. Pull it up. It's there. And then
in his school in Columbia.
Yeah.
He put down he's a foreign exchange or whatever, but he was born in Kenya, and that got erased. They took that all out after he started running. They erased all that crap.
All these lies.
Well, there's one professor, he's retired from Columbia. He's got all his records of all his students.
Ooh.
And he said he's never had, and this is a class you have to take if you're going to be a lawyer. It's you have to take it. The professor said he's never had a Barack Obama or a Barry Sotero or any of that.
Wow.
And the classmates, that was in that class said that there's no way there was anybody like that in their class.
They would have known, of course.
You have to take if you're a lawyer. And he showed all his records from those years. And he said, you won't find no Barack Obama in there. But yet he graduated from Columbia.
Man, oh man. You know, it's just one whistle. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. That assumes that he's the only professor that taught that class.
No, he was the only. It's just one class. That's all he taught. And that's why he's got all his records. And I forgot the hour. It was a 3-hour course every day.
Wow.
He was the only one taught that class, and then they go, wherever. There is different, depending on what you're going to be a lawyer for, too. You know, is he going to be a standard everyday lawyer or a commercial lawyer? There was different things you had to take. But that class, and I can't remember the name of it, he said they had to be there.
Huh.
Where did Big Mike get his college degree at?
Well, they said he went to Harvard and Columbia, two of the biggest colleges there is. Nobody remembers them anywhere.
Uh-huh.
They can make up documents. They can just get them out.
Oh, yeah. I believe exactly what happened. I think, Harvard isn't what it used to be. If you got money, if you're a dummy and have money, you can go to Harvard now.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. If you're transgender and you're different, you can go to Harvard. That hog,
right.
David Hogg from Florida, that wasn't even in the shooting. And he ran down to the school after it was all over, and he's the one who was on TV all the time talking about gun control. I don't know if you guys remember David Hall.
I remember.
He got into Harvard. And if you wear a dress and have a dinghy, you can go to Harvard. There you go. Put a little rouge on, and I think I'd be a cute woman.
There was I saw a congresswoman. They were in during a hearing, and she said, boys are boys, and girls are girls, and there is nothing else. She said that. Said that out loud.
Uh-oh. She said it out loud, and
she said it out loud during a hearing. You know, they've been talking about mutilation, you know. There's been some more hearings about that lately. And talking about children that cannot drink alcohol, they can't vote, they can't, but yet they can decide to have their, you know,
private part
mutilated.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I watched that.
Yeah.
I watched that. And here's this.
My name is Chloe.
Here's this gal, and just listen to her story.
My name is Chloe Cole, and I'm a detransitioner. Another way to put that would be, I used to believe that I was born the wrong body, and the adults in my life, whom I trusted, affirmed my belief, and this caused me lifelong, irreversible harm. I speak to you today as a victim of one of the biggest medical scandals in the history of the United States of America. I speak to you in the hope that you will have the courage to bring the scandal to an end, and ensure that other vulnerable teenagers, children, and young adults don't go through what I went through. At the age of 12, I began to experience what my medical team would later diagnose as gender dysphoria. I was well into an early puberty, and I was very uncomfortable with the changes that were happening to my body. I was intimidated by male attention, and when I told my parents that I felt like a boy, in retrospect, all I meant was that I hated puberty, that I wanted this newfound sexual attention to go away, that I looked up to my brothers a little bit more than I did to my sisters. I came out as transgender in a letter I sent on the dining room table. My parents were immediately concerned. They felt like they needed to get outside help from medical professionals, but this proved to be a mistake. It immediately set our entire family down a path of ideologically motivated deceit and coercion. The gender specialist I was taken to see told my parents that I needed to be put on puberty-blocking drugs right away. They asked my parents a simple question. Would you rather have a dead daughter or a living transgender son? The choice was enough for my parents to let their guard down, and in retrospect, I can't blame them. This was the moment that we all became victims of so-called gender-affirming care. I was fast-tracked onto puberty blockers and then testosterone. The resulting menopausal-like hot flashes made focusing on school impossible. I still get joint pains and weird pops in my back, but they were far worse when I was on the blockers. A month later, when I was 13, I had my first testosterone injection, which caused permanent changes to my body. My voice will forever be deeper, my jawline sharper, my nose longer, my bone structure permanently masculinized, my Adam's apple more prominent, my fertility unknown. I look in the mirror sometimes, and I feel like a monster. I had a double mastectomy at 15. They tested my amputated breast for cancer. And I was cancer-free, of course. I was perfectly healthy. There was nothing wrong with my still-developing body or my breasts. Other than that, as an insecure teenage girl, I felt awkward about it. After my breasts were taken away from me, the tissue was incinerated. Before I was able to legally drive, I had a huge part of my future womanhood taken from me. I will never be able to breastfeed. I struggle to look at myself in the mirror at times. I still struggle to this day with sexual dysfunction. And I have massive scars across my chest. And the skin grafts that they use, that they took of my nipples, are weeping fluid today. And they were grafted into a more masculine positioning, they said. After surgery, my grades in school plummeted. Everything that I went through did nothing to address my underlying mental health issues that I had. My doctors, with their theories on gender, thought that all my problems would go away as soon as I was surgically transformed into something that vaguely resembled a boy. Their theories were wrong. The drugs and surgeries changed my body, but they did not and could not change the basic reality that I am and forever will be a female. When my specialist first told my parents that they could have a dead daughter or a live transgender son, I wasn't suicidal. I was a happy child who struggled because she was different. However, at 16, after my surgery, I did become suicidal. I'm doing better now. But my parents almost got the dead daughter promised to them by my doctors. My doctors had almost created the very nightmare they said they were trying to avoid. So what message do I want to bring to American teenagers and their families? I didn't need to be lied to. I needed compassion. I needed to be loved. I needed to be given therapy to help me work through my issues, not affirmed in my delusion that by transforming into a boy, it would solve all my problems. We need to stop telling 12-year-olds that they're born wrong. that they are right to reject their own bodies and feel uncomfortable with their own skin. We need to stop telling children that puberty is an option, that they can choose what kind of puberty they will go through, just as they can choose what clothes to wear or what music to listen to. Puberty is a rite of passage to adulthood, not a disease to be mitigated. Today, I should be at home with my family celebrating my 19th birthday, and instead I'm making a desperate plea to my elected representatives. Learn the lessons from other medical scandals like the opioid crisis to recognize that doctors are human too, and sometimes they are wrong. My childhood was ruined along with thousands of detransitioners that I know through our networks. This needs to stop. You alone can stop it. Enough children have already been victimized by this barbaric pseudoscience. Please let me be your final warning. Thank you.
There you go. Hope people listen to that.
I saw some of that on, I guess it was C-SPAN.
Yeah.
The other day.
I saw another interview with one that was a boy, and they decided that he wanted to be a girl. And he says he now knows that he was just an effeminate gay man. He didn't want to be a girl. But when he was going through stuff, like transgender people would counsel him that he needs to throw up the suicide threat. And he said when he went through to see a psychologist, he only saw a psychologist for an hour and a half to go ahead and set him up as having the gender dysmorphia and that he needed the life-saving transition.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if doctors are afraid of being sued if they don't. I mean, even homosexuality is a mental disorder.
The biggest thing is, what was going on is we were starting to accept gay people as gay people. And they weren't, you know, they weren't being bullied as much as they were before. And, you know, it was perfectly fine. So now we have to tell gay people, we have to tell the kids that decide they're gay that, you're not really gay, you're just in the wrong body. So you're not really a woman that likes women, you're trapped in the wrong body, you're really a man that likes women. There are some people that really do believe they're in the wrong body. Such a small minority of the gay population.
If they weren't jamming it down your throat, if they weren't doing this to our children, and they would stay in their group instead of trying to force everybody into. Did you know Michigan, and I don't know if it's going to pass, but it passed through the House in Michigan. If you use the wrong pronoun, they can arrest you and charge you, and it would be a felony. A felony.
See, I'm telling you, okay. If somebody called me a guy instead of a girl, I'd rather him go to jail for calling me the C word than calling me a guy for crying out loud.
Well, if he called you a guy with those double D's, he's a blind guy. Relax. Nobody's going to think of you as a guy. Trust me.
All these surgeries, these transgender surgeries, all of this is still experimental, you know?
80% of the ones that go through the surgery end up with lifelong pain.
Oh,
80%.
Yeah. Well, the blockers that they give them, they cause long-term side effects, you know, long-term side effects. So all of this is still experimental. you know, and they really don't know what they're doing. That Jazz, y'all remember him?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he is really put on the weight.
That mother ought to go to prison. That mother
was. That dad, too. And the grandparents.
The mother. Hell with the grandparents. The mother was pushing this kid.
Oh, yeah.
When he was, when he could just start to talk, that you're a female. What are you? I'm a girl. I'd seen the tapes. The mother was pushing this crap.
Oh, yeah.
And then the mother was pissed off because that Jazz is going to Harvard, right? And you got to put something inside you to keep you open or it closes back. And she was pissed. She said, if I have to go in there and do it myself. And,
yeah, I heard that too.
And she's in bad shape. She's mentally in bad shape.
Maybe it's the parents that have the mental illness instead of the kids.
I was just going to say trying to get away from the barking dogs. That's a big case of Munchausen by proxy that we've put people in prison for right now.
Yeah.
Well, she should be in prison. You're damn right.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for Aunt Margaret, I might want to be a girl. But me and Annie.
See, we finally got to a point where we were trying to tell kids it's okay to be whatever you are. And now we're poking at them again and saying, no, it's not okay to be whatever you are.
Louisiana passed the law after the legislature override the veto by the Democratic governor that bans those type of procedures on children less than 18. But they had several other laws. One was the pronoun, and that was passed by the legislature, but the governor vetoed. These Democratic governors in a red state, I don't know how the hell that happened. That don't make any sense. And they the one that's against stopping these type of horrendous things happening to your kids. What's going on there, Kathy? It makes me want to punch somebody.
Well, me too. I hope it is true, but several months ago I had seen on the internet that Europe has stopped allowing children under 18 to take these blockers, you know, puberty blockers.
But I think it's 16.
Is it 16?
They got a lower age of consent in Europe, so it might be 16, I believe.
Well, I thought that was interesting.
They don't want it. They want the children's brain to fully develop before making such a decision.
I mean, even a 16-year-old doesn't even, you know. I mean, they can drive here.
Well,
but
yeah,
you can tell a kid that he's going to be in pain the rest of his life, and when he's, they're not going to understand that. They're going to think, I'm going to have a bruise the rest of my life. They don't understand.
No.
Chronic physical pain. Well, majority of them don't, thankfully. But yeah, you've got the idea you're going to live forever kind of thing. And I can beat anything.
Well, John Doe had a show on your, you know, Blog Talk, Donnie, one night. You let him be the host. He had that audio of the Illuminati. You know, the whole thing was about the Illuminati. The satanic worshipers, all that stuff. And it was interesting, you know. But that is what the Illuminati do. You know, they're bisexual, they're transgender, they're homosexual. I mean, that's what they do, you know. say Hollywood is 80 or 90% Illuminati, you know?
Yeah, that's what they say.
Yeah. But that's what they do. And we have Illuminati everywhere. In our government, our bank, everywhere. Major corporations, they're everywhere. It's not as many of them as it is of us, but they have the power to push the buttons. They have the power to control the hospitals. They control the TV stations. You know, it only takes somebody wealthy to own something to control the whole agenda, you know?
Well, yeah, once they've got control over your mind and control over the message, then everybody, you know, we see it all the time. You get, you watch your local news and they tell you like a little bit of world news at the end. And then you turn around and watch the world news and they're saying the exact same sentences. And it doesn't pop into your head that this is all scripted.
It is all scripted.
We got a lot of people on the switchboard. If you'd like to join, push 1. And I see one number. I see Texas Bob. And Texas Bob, if you would like to join the show, you belong.
It's at the 10 o'clock number,
cool.
Donnie.
I was worried about you.
It's at the 10 o'clock. You should have warned us. I could have hung up and called back in and reset my...
Oh, your phone, yeah.
Donnie, Bob was with you in the beginning of your show, wasn't he? I remember him.
Yeah. Everybody remembers Texas Bob.
Well, yeah.
He's a big part.
Well, he's from Texas.
How did you know?
I just guessed.
You are amazing.
I know. We got cousins in Texas, too.
Yes, we do. We got a lot of cousins. They're pumping them out.
But Donnie.
Left and right. Yes, Pianchi.
It was probably them billionaires that put the scientists up to run anyway. You probably didn't want to. They said, if you don't run, we ain't going to give you no money later
you
on.
You know, you might be right, because I didn't think he was going to run. Let me get Bob on here. He's spinning. Bob, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself? And
pretty
yeah, we
good.
Got a lot of Yankees down here now. Y'all need to go back home.
Uh-oh. That's not good.
We're invading.
I need to go back home.
I got the truth.
Head back wherever you came from.
They don't even talk right, do they, Texas Bob?
They don't talk right. They don't vote right. They got no brains. I'm sorry.
I like this man.
I got one that moved in next door, came from Wisconsin. Lord.
Oh no!
Just moved in today.
Well, you're just gonna have to train him, you know. Train him.
Yeah, okay. But I'm training the man. He's ass.
First, you need to teach him how to talk right.
I gotta learn how to talk. That's true.
That is so true.
Yeah.
But anyway.
He might make a good text and just give him time. Apparently he don't like where he's from because he wouldn't have moved. So help him out a little bit. Teach him about guns and everything in Texas.
Hey, Mama, tell him about that guy from Pennsylvania we met in Walmart.
I think I told them about that one time. It was a retired police officer.
Oh, yeah?
He said you got to have a D after your name or you're never going to get anywhere there. I mean, he retired, and we ran into him in Walmart down here.
He said it was after the election that he said, look, that they're not representing me. He moved to Alabama.
Was it Philadelphia or Pittsburgh that he was? He said it was the crookedest place he's ever known.
Well, that's probably Philadelphia then.
Well, maybe it was Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's pretty bad.
Hey, Donnie.
Yes, sir.
How are you liking our buoys we got down here?
No, who?
The buoys.
What's a buoy?
Oh, the buoys they put in the Rio Grande.
Rio Grande.
Oh.
I saw a picture of that. That's the border right there. That's the border. Dividing the Rio Grande.
Well, make it easier to get on the United States side. That's what those buoys are there for. Get to that buoy and go on the other side, and you're in America. Man, that's BS.
No, they put barbed wire down there. They put barbed wire down there.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
In Texas?
Yeah.
They put barbed wire
under the buoy, and they put barbed wire along the side of the where the land is.
Oh, wow.
And they got people that are... And what it's doing, basically, is where these buoys are at is shallow. So that's where they were crossing. So what they did was made it to where it goes farther, I forgot exactly how long it is. Let's just say it's 100 yards. Well, when it goes to that 100 yards, it goes real deep. So they can't walk across the border. Walk across. They pushed them down to where it was deeper waters, and they're all complaining.
Now we're getting sued.
Mexico's claiming that our buoys are restricting the water flow down the Rio Grande. I ain't figured that one out yet because their buoys they float on top of water. They don't.
Restricting the water from flowing? A buoy?
Mexico's mad because, truthfully, and this is the sad part, they have the people that was trying to come across, and they're getting hung up in that razor wire and barbed wire.
Ooh,
that's not good.
No.
Still people that were, they don't stitch them. They use those staples.
Yeah.
Stapling their legs and stuff.
Ooh.
And they get caught up in that stuff.
Too bad.
Yeah, that's terrible. Now, is that all across the state of Texas? Or is that just in certain spots?
It's just in a certain spot.
Oh, okay. Wow. I don't know how I didn't hear this. Jesus.
Well, here's the thing about that. The DOJ wants to sue Texas because of the buoys.
They did.
Well, my question is this, Donnie. Suppose Mexico had to put them out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You
going to
sue Mexico?
Yeah. Yeah, they probably would. They probably would. You know that. They would. What's that, Bobby?
Oh, in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Because our government wants illegals over here.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the bottom line.
Yeah. You listen to Mayorkas, man. He says, "Hey, our border is doing fine. We're doing better than the previous administration." And that's what he says. That guy's the biggest liar. Now, is Sheila Jackson Lee your congresswoman?
Not mine.
Not yours? I thought she was. I thought she was in Houston, Katy area.
No. She's in Houston.
Oh, she okay.
She's now she's running for mayor.
Mayor?
Yep.
Well, good. Get her out of there. Yeah.
She's running for mayor in Houston.
Wow,
see,
I didn't know.
See, her district is like the third ward.
Okay.
It's
does she live in the third ward?
Well, hell no.
Okay. Geez, and that is something. Why the hell they expanded?
Okay, let me explain what they did here. Okay, the third ward, and I'm saying third ward, it might be fifth ward, I don't know what ward it is. All I know is it's a majority poor people.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, all right, I'll put it that way. All right, well, they expanded it into her district, into what that is called... what the hell is this? They expanded their district into money district.
Republican district, pretty much?
Pretty much.
Okay, I got you. That's why she's running for mayor. Okay.
Exactly. Okay, so, and the part they expanded in, actually, the taxes are a lot higher there. The property values are a lot higher there and all that. So that's where she's getting her money. You ain't going to tell me no different. Okay? But anyway.
That's probably why she's running for mayor, too. If they're more Republican, they're tendency to vote.
The amount that they took over, that in that part of the district that they took over, is she's, you know, she's a Democrat, so they don't vote for her anyway.
But no,
her biggest part of her district is, like I said, the
poor people.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I don't think she's gonna become the mayor. But that's what she's running for now. I guess she's hired the Senate over there, so she's going to become a mayor. The city of Houston is Democrat.
Oh, I know.
Most big cities down here are, you know, Dallas,
yeah.
San Antonio, you know, all the bigger cities, they're all Democrat because it's, it is what it is.
Wonder how, you know, a president can win Texas as a Republican. Kind of strange.
No, not really, because you got so much.
This is like New York City.
The bigger cities, even though you got like San Antonio and Houston, and I'll just use Houston for an example. Okay. Houston, you've got a lot of suburbs outside of the city of Houston. And, you know, like Katy. Katy's a suburb of Houston. We can't vote for anything that goes on in the city of Houston. So we got a lot of what I call suburbs, smaller towns outside, and that's why the Republic. Because everybody usually outside. And this is going to change because we're getting too many people moving from different states down here. Like we had a whole bunch of people from California move down here.
I did hear about that.
And the guy that used to live next door, that's where he came from. And his mentality was, you vote Democrat no matter what. That's just their mentality is.
That's his mentality. He's going to vote. He's a Democrat.
He's a Democrat. He comes from. No. He comes from. It's California, but it's over by Los Angeles. But it's like, I guess, over there by like where the Watts district is over there.
I've heard of that.
Something, you know, one of those this, and that's what they believe. You know, they vote Democrat no matter what.
We'll be looking for you on the nightly news, because if you ever get into a discussion on politics, I'm sure there's going to be some bloodletting.
He ended up passing away, but that's what I was saying. I got new neighbors. They came from Wisconsin. The guy from California passed away.
Oh, okay.
So they sold the house, and now we got somebody from Wisconsin.
He passed away.
Yeah, he passed
Damn
away.
Damn the luck. Damn the luck.
Well, you know, other than his politics, he's a pretty nice guy. He just, that's the way they're raised. You know, that's just their mentality from where they come from.
Now, I was a Democrat for a long time, because that's what the union said. That's who gets you the jobs.
Well,
bullshit. Yeah, you know, that's a bunch of BS crap. Go ahead.
The Democratic Party was paying those union people too.
Oh, you can bet on that. You can bet on that.
That union was making big bucks off the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're making big
money. It's all money game. Yep.
It's all about money, buddy boy. it's all about money. Somebody, Larry, who's it? Larry, I won't say his last name, sent this. And let me play this real quick. I don't know what it is.
Hit that button. I'm coming back to you, so I'll have more time. But I just want to note that on May 13th of 2021, a subcommittee member here on Judiciary, our colleague, Ms. Sheila Jackson Lee, who walked in the room, I'm going to quote you because you said, and I think it's up on the screen there, in essence, the brain doesn't fully mature until at least 25 years old. Does that tell us about high school students, middle schoolers, and yes, young people who make rash or irreverent or spontaneous decisions? Should that be their life? Now, admittedly, she was saying this in the context of a criminal subcommittee hearing, but I think that is a truism. I think she stated an obvious fact that everybody should acknowledge. Unfortunately, I'm out of time. I'll have some more in a bit. The chair now recognizes Ms. Jackson Lee. How about that introduction?
Mr. Johnson, thank you for giving me that gift. You are absolutely right. That hearing, if I might quote it specifically, as the chair of the committee, it was made during a committee hearing entitled The Juvenile Justice Pipeline and the Road Back to Integration. The idea, Ms. Reynolds and Mr. Minter, was to save lives from young people being incarcerated for life. And it was the individual young person making rash actions that would draw themselves into criminal life or criminal acts, should that be the rest of their life. So let me not step away from the idea that we want to save lives in many instances. Let me get to the point of this hearing, since that was not relevant to this hearing and it was on a completely different topic. But let me get to this point. Let me apologize for a hearing that frightens me. I have dealt with this issue for decades, and I dealt with a young man named David Ritchie, who was a gay young man, a young man, who in the place he lived, Texas, his life was not affirmed.
From Wisconsin.
He lived in a skin of concern and fear, and ultimately he was sodomized. And we introduced legislation of the David Ritchie anti-hate legislation because as a gay young man who lived life differently, he was not affirmed. Ultimately, even though got past this case, he ultimately committed suicide. So let me, as I begin my questioning, tell you how fearful I am that the intervention of this committee on issues of private health care determination frighteningly label the trans community in a way that someone is being intimidated in fear and concern for their life, or their personal thinking is that they're not worthy, they're not entitled to good health care, and that their life is not worth it. I insist on pronouncing today, your life is worth it. Your son's life is worth it. Daughter's life is worth it. however they are transitioning and as they live their life. And I plea and beg for those who might be listening, know that we do not believe that this is a question for this committee. It is a question for health care, for your parent or loved one or guardian, and as well your personal determination. I will not pretend to be a scriptured person. I am not ordained. I'm not in any leading religious organization as a religious leader, but I have spoken to persons who lead, and they've given me no evidence that this issue speaks to anyone's religion. Again, I don't pretend to know every aspect of everyone's faith, and in this country, you practice as you desire. But I will not sit here and allow the trans community to be abused and in essence to be rejected. And for someone somewhere, let me say, your life is worthwhile. Mr. Mentor, let me provide you with a question very quickly. My time is short. The Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment forbids states to deprive any person of life, liberty, or property. The Supreme Court has stated this clause includes a substantive component that provides heightened protection against government interference. What does this mean to the interests? The court stated that the interests of parents in the care and custody of control of their children is important. Please give what this means to you as you lead out in this community. Ms. Reynolds, please let us know what this meant to you for your son, for his coming together, and how you needed the support of your community, your surrounding, and how important this is for trans. Let me go to Mr. Mentor, please, and I'd ask the chairman for his indulgence so I had to respond to his commentary. Yes, Mr. Mentor.
Thank you so much for your statement of support for this community. Kids need to hear that. Yes, these state bans are an unthinkable intrusion on the traditional, deeply rooted authority of parents to make medical decisions for their own children. And we're talking about obtaining established care. Their parents who know there's an effective treatment, they see their child suffering, to have the government come in and say, no, you cannot obtain this health care for your children, is a shocking violation of parents' rights.
Psychologically, Ms. Reynolds, if you can just bring it home to us what it really means and who somebody that's not in this room might be seeing what's going on here.
I just want to highlight how incredibly difficult all of this was. This is, again, nothing that we arrived on easily. There was nothing impulsive about any of this decision. It was made collaboratively with a team of trained professionals. There was a ridiculous amount of assessment that happened prior to that. This is not just some kind of fly-by-night, my kids said this one day, and then this whole thing launched. That is not how this went down. It was very, very, very careful.
Are others impacted by listening to this quickly? Can you just say what impact? Hearing that they are not affirmed.
It's devastating.
Gentlelady's out of time.
Okay. She says one thing, and now, you know, it's all right to, what the hell is she saying? Since the brain.
That guy is lying.
What's that?
The Constitution does not give any, rights to groups, individuals. No matter what a person is, they have civil rights. You don't need no special rights for no group of transsexuals. They're still individuals.
Right.
And the federal government has jack to do with that. It's up to the state.
There you go. It is.
Yeah. Supreme Court makes no laws. Judges makes no laws.
No, but they think they do, some of them. They sure as hell think
they
do.
Well, they need to keep their butts out.
I know.
A federal judge is not there for life. He's there on basis of good behavior. Read the Constitution. Kick them out. That's what the problem is. People don't do or utilize the powers that they have. Kick their butts out.
Isn't Justice Roberts, isn't he over all the federal judges?
Well, yeah, the Supreme Court is over federal judges. And he ain't Justice Roberts, he's Judge Roberts. They're not called justice in the Constitution.
Well, why doesn't he do something about some of this crap you hear about these judges pulling?
Well, people won't threaten them. They kick them out. They're supposed to serve on account of good behavior, not for life.
Well, we know what a couple of them, they should have recused themselves, went ahead and threw the book at Republicans, of course, and wouldn't allow some of the evidence to be shown, especially in the January 6th hearings. They didn't get to see any of that. Jurors didn't get to see any of that stuff that Tucker Carlson showed on his TV and got that guy released. He got released. And that's the guy with the horns, the headdress on.
Yeah, I can't think of his name.
I can't either right now.
But the,
go ahead.
But you know, you're talking about two judges. Justice Ginsburg, I mean, Judge Ginsburg and Judge Kagan should have recused themselves on the issue of same-sex marriage because they had officiated same-sex marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're right. They never do. They never do. Oh, we're open-minded. No, you're not. You're closed-minded. There's a judge, a federal judge, hasn't been appointed yet, just going through the committee. And my boy, this might be it right here. He had to stop listing all the crap. This judge, just listen
Senator
to this.
Senator Kennedy.
Just listen to this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Just, it's only a couple minutes.
Congratulations to
Senator Kennedy.
To all of the nominees. Judge Mihalchak, you remember a case called Yentzer v. Potter County?
I have a recollection that I presided over that case. I don't know if I recall the details of it.
Okay. And you were reversed. Is that right?
I believe that was a case that I issued. I was a magistrate judge in that role and in the referral role on it, and it was reviewed by the district court, yes.
And you were reversed, right?
I don't recall in that case if the report and the recommendation was adopted in full or not adopted
in full. The higher court said you incorrectly analyzed qualified immunity and you incorrectly cited the 11th Amendment. You remember a case called Myers v. Clinton County Correctional Facility?
I recall that case as well.
And you were reversed in that case too, weren't you?
I believe I was. It was adopted in part, yes.
Do you remember a case called Dennis v. Sheridan?
Yes, I believe I recall that case as well.
And you were reversed in that case too?
I believe that R&R was not adopted in full, correct, yes.
Okay. But you were reversed?
It was not adopted, yes,
by the
district court.
Is that the same thing as being reversed?
It's a different – the district court declined to adopt the report and recommendation.
The higher court said you were wrong.
The district court disagreed with my report, yes.
Yeah, okay. You remember a case called Shania v. East Pennsboro?
Yeah, the Shanias are pro se plaintiffs who have brought a number of cases, so I'm
right,
not sure which
right.
one you're referring
but
to.
Yes. I'm just curious. You were reversed in that case too, were you not?
In part, yes.
Okay. Do you remember a case called Spanier v. Libby?
Yes, I do.
The president of Pennsylvania State University was convicted of covering up child sex abuse crimes. And you let him go on a habeas corpus petition. And the Third Circuit reversed you. Is that right?
I directed that a new trial should be held with a different jury instruction, and the Third Circuit disagreed and found that he had received the due process he was entitled to, yes.
Well, the Third Circuit said you failed to cite, analyze, or properly apply the relevant case law. You were reversed, right?
The Third Circuit reversed my decision, yes.
Okay. Do you remember a case called Hassel v. Centric Bank?
I vaguely recall that case, yes, Senator.
You were reversed, weren't you?
I believe the district court failed to adopt my recommendation.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you remember a case called Ramsey v. Amtrak?
Yes, I do.
And the higher court reversed you in that case too, didn't they?
the district court concluded that I was correct in finding that the petitioner did not pay a filing fee, and where I had recommended that the case be dismissed, he granted the petitioner 30 days to correct that.
So you were reversed in part?
Yes.
Okay. You remember a case called McCracken v. Fulton County?
Yes, I do.
You were reversed in that case too, weren't you?
I believe that was in part, yes.
You remember a case called Bird v. Britton?
I do.
And were you reversed in that case?
In part, yes.
Okay. You remember You remember a case called Allen v. Lackawanna County Board of Commissioners?
I believe I recall that case, Senator.
And you were reversed in that case too, weren't you?
I believe I was reversed in part in that case, yes.
You remember a case called Daniels v. Capital One Bank?
Yes.
And I believe you were reversed in that case, too?
Yes, I believe so.
Do you remember a case called Downey v. Pennsylvania Department of Corrections?
Yes, I recall that case.
And were you reversed in that case?
Yes, I believe I was.
Remember a case called Rijon v. Wenzel?
I vaguely recall that case, yes, sir.
And were you reversed by a high court there, too?
I believe that our report and recommendation was not adopted in full.
Okay. I don't have time to finish this list. I mean, it's longer than King Kong's arm here. You've been reversed a lot. In fact, you've been nominated before, haven't you?
No, I have not, sir.
Well, your nomination was talked about, and Senator Toomey refused to send in a blue slip for you, did he not?
I'm not sure exactly what happened. I know that this process has been ongoing for 2 years.
Yeah, but you know that Senator Schumer refused to even – thought she was so unqualified that he refused to even allow the Judiciary Committee to consider you. Isn't that correct?
I do not know what Senator Schumer's reasons were.
So. You've never talked to Senator Schumer about it?
I never discussed it with Senator.
And you don't know anything about a blue slip being withheld on you?
I do not know.
You're under oath.
I am under oath. And I know I did not speak with Senator Toomey about his reasons for not.
Was Senator Toomey's concern that you were unqualified?
Again, Senator, I did not speak with Senator Toomey or his staff about his reasons for not supporting me.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Wow. And
Senator Kennedy.
Hold on. They are. This is what the Biden administration put up. And he had a list. He didn't even read them all. And that's the kind of judges we're getting right there. And that's got to stop. But she'll get appointed too. You watch. She'll get out of committee and they'll vote for her. And of course, Democrats have
hey,
the agenda. Yeah.
That woman's a rabid liar. She ain't won a case since the 8th grade.
And that's your...
All that's her answers was, I think so.
Yeah. I think I remember that. I think you would
too
remember...
Bad we don't have... Too bad we don't have more senators like Senator Kennedy from Louisiana.
Boy,
the man is superb.
Oh, he is. Oh, I enjoy him. Oh my gosh, he just
that lady shouldn't even showed up. She should have said she had cramps or something.
Jesus. Yeah, I guess you're right. Oh, man, Bianchi. Yeah, I wish we had a Senator Kennedy. And damn, he is this on point every time he's on. He's just on point. And especially the fossil fuel deal. Amazing.
These people are lying. She was earnestly thinking she deserved that nomination. She
yeah.
did.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, she's not qualified. She's one of them affirmative action judges.
That's exactly what she is.
I don't know. I don't know.
Sound like to me. It don't have to be no certain skin color. She sounds like an affirmative action judge.
Well, you see, yeah. Yeah. He could have thrown in a one or two that she actually got it right. But
well, by the time she got down to the end of the list, and King Kong got a long arm.
Yeah, he does. Senator Kennedy can come up with some good stuff. Oh, man. What's this? Oh, hold on.
Senator Kennedy.
Hold on here. Just
thank
for a second.
You, Mr. Chairman. Welcome, Governor. Professor Keenan, you teach at Tulane?
Yes, sir, I do. I have that privilege.
And you have your own website, keenanclimate.com. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay. And you describe yourself on your website as a globally recognized thought leader. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Whoops, his
okay.
phone went off.
And you give paid speeches, do you?
On occasion, I do.
You have your own agent, I believe, according to your website, Lee Bureau?
This is correct.
And how much do you charge per speech?
It varies depending on the audience, the amount of preparation work that goes, and the amount of follow-through.
The last paid speech you gave, how much did you receive?
I'm happy to follow up on.
You don't remember?
I do not.
Do you give that money to Tulane?
I do not.
You keep it?
Yes, this is okay. Outside of my capacity as a professor.
Right.
As is
now,
standard course.
Now, you recently sent a letter you recently joined a lot of other academics. You signed a letter demanding that elite institutions and universities stop accepting money from fossil fuel companies. Is that correct?
This is correct.
You consider Tulane an elite university?
I would like to think that we have a high standard of excellence in our education and our research.
Okay. Well, the Murphy family of Murphy Oil and the Deming family of Murphy Oil have recently given Tulane $25 million. Have you called on Tulane to give that money back?
Well, it's not – they didn't give that money to my unit or the department or school that I work
at. Have you called on Tulane to give that money back, or you think that's okay for them to keep it?
It's their prerogative, not mine.
Okay. Yet you just signed a letter saying that all elite universities should refuse fossil fuel money. Is that, did you put a footnote in there and say, accept my own?
Well, what I'd like to say, Senator, is that I believe it raises a conflict of interest for those that research climate change and are supported by the fossil fuel industry.
Yeah, but then why don't you ask Tulane to give the $25 million back?
Well, I think in the context, if that money were to be used to support climate research, information, disinformation, or whatever it may be, then that may be an appropriate conflict of interest. But I think in the context...
You don't see the hypocrisy here?
It is hypocrisy in those that may read and interpret it as such.
Maybe it's like Washington. If there weren't double standards, there wouldn't be standards at all. Let me ask you this. You also participated in another article here. Criticizing Houston for building new buildings and McMansions. And you said, I'm going to read your quote. I don't want to misquote you, Professor. That means we have to change our consumer preferences. You could have a super efficient, energy efficient mega mansion in Houston, the suburbs, but it's still a mansion. You're still over consuming space. Did you say that?
Yes, sir. That's based on work as a member of the IPCC. Our research suggested that reducing our footprint in terms of total spatial footprint would have significant impacts on the decarbonization of the built environment.
And so you're saying that people should live in smaller houses because larger houses contribute to CO2 emissions?
100%, Senator.
Okay. Well, recently, Tulane finished the Commons. It was 77,000 square feet, $55 million. Recently, Tulane finished the Gold Ring Waldenburg Business Complex, $35 million to complete, 92,000 square feet. Boy, that's McMahon. Mustafa Hall, 23,000 square feet. Paul Hall, 36,000 square feet. Richardson Hall, 50,000 square feet. Housing redevelopment phase one, 230,000 square feet at Tulane. Have you called upon Tulane to stop these buildings?
Sir, the habitable space within those units are roughly the size of the conference room back there and are indeed quite small.
But they contribute to
everything that we do, sir.
The commons contribute more to climate change than a McMansion in Houston? You were pretty quick to criticize the people of Houston for wanting to build, you thought, McMansions. But you don't criticize your own university?
I don't find that to be equivocal comparison between space meant for students who must reside at a university.
You don't see the hypocrisy in that?
It is your finding and interpretation, sir.
But you don't see the irony of the hypocrisy?
I'm going to go ahead and say no.
Okay. I kind of gathered that would be your answer. Governor, good to see you. You live in a big house, don't you?
Currently, I do, yes.
How big is the governor's mansion?
I don't know the square footage, but it's large, and it's 60 years old this year. You ought to come by and
I need to get by. Well, the professor from Tulane doesn't like that. Let me ask you, do you think it's fair? Look, John Bell, we get 37.5% of all short oil royalties under Gold Mesa. New Mexico gets 50%. Share from the federal government, for God's sakes. Wyoming gets 50%. North Dakota gets 50%. We get 37.5%, and we got to share it with four other states.
And it's capped at $375 million that we get to share no matter.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, that just sucks.
I don't think it's fair, and 90% of all Gulf oil and gas exploration production activities are served out of Port Fouchon. So we bear the brunt of the infrastructure necessary to make all of that happen, but we're not sharing the way other states share, and it's one of the reasons I thank the members of this committee while you were out for the ones who co-sponsored the RISE Act, because it is incredibly important for a state like Louisiana, and we constitutionally dedicate every dollar we get, as you know, to the coast.
All we're asking is to be treated like everybody else, aren't we?
Yes, sir.
And we have a solution, don't we?
We do.
And it's called the RISE Act. Tell us about the RISE Act.
Well,
okay, we won't get into Louisiana stuff, but I've got to move along here because I'm running out of time. I got to find it. Give me a minute, folks. Give me a minute.
You got corruption from the top to the bottom.
Boy, you aren't
lying. The only thing that saved this country is the Convention of States Article 5. If that don't work, Katie barred the door.
Yep. You're right about that. Texas is a part of that, so that's a good thing. Now, this was sent to me for Daniel. I don't even know if Daniel's still here, but if he is...
Yeah, I'm here.
Daniel, you should be out with your binocular piercing the sky and looking for them UFOs, man.
I was just thinking about that, Bianchi.
I was listening to that one hearing, and I asked myself, how could they have a hearing without Daniel and Kathy?
I think we're slated to come in next month and testify.
Is that it? Anyway, that's what's about right here. So hang on, and I will get this going.
Welcome, everybody, to Redacted on this Wednesday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
We've got a very busy show for you on this Wednesday because in just a few days, the United States Congress is set to hold their hearings on UFO disclosure. You might laugh, you might smirk, you might chuckle, but we now have confirmed that there are at least three major whistleblowers coming forward with evidence. Members of Congress have actually seen footage, seen evidence, and will also be testifying and releasing that information. So next week is going to be absolutely explosive.
Plus, we have an update on a story about how trans people are treated in the military. They can get they can get exempt from deployments. They can get full sex changes on taxpayer dollars, and they can get exemptions from physical fitness standards. Is this good for them, or will this actually their bodies?
No, we don't know, do we? We don't
Ukraine
care.
Ukraine is not my concern. But okay. No, he absolutely is.
Well, because he doubled down on it and talked about another chance to play. So
this part.
It's not my concern. I mean, you could say it reminded me a little bit of that German politician when asked about, like, okay, Germany's collapsing. Do you not care about your German constituents? And she said, "I know I care more about Ukraine. I don't, you know, German voters are they're fine. I don't care about them. I care more about Ukraine." And that's what this reminded me of. This reminded me of this moment where, no, I don't care that Philadelphia is literally swimming in filth and there's murders multiple times a day in big cities all across the United States. I care more about making sure that we get jets into Ukraine.
Yeah, well, it's such a charade. It's a polished turd.
I really hope that he gets to keep doing this, because I love the fact that – because you notice what Pence did. After he asked him the question, he goes to his stump speech. I'm going to take America, and I'm going to make it this and this and this. And Tucker doesn't let him keep going. And that's what happens in every debate we've ever watched. All this stuff, they just go right in their stump speech, and they never challenge him. I love that he's like, no, wait, you know, and he challenges him. So I hope that this is setting the bar for the debates that we'll see throughout the election cycle.
Right.
Yeah, I wonder if Tucker will do debates, if they'll, you know, because
let him host one for our network.
Yeah, because mainstream media, who's going to let him do it, you know? I mean, if he does it for his own, he's launching his own new media company. I'd love
unless there was a Twitter debate, which I don't think any Democratic candidate would participate in, because they're too busy, you know, crapping on Twitter.
So then he asked Mike Pence, as a Christian, why are we supporting a country and a leader in Ukraine like Zelensky, which has arrested priests, nuns, persecuting Christians in Ukraine? Why are we supporting that? And
I don't know why.
And it didn't go well.
Larry, you got to tell me what I'm supposed to play here, son.
Watch this.
You recently met with Zelensky, according to news reports. And I'm wondering if during that meeting, as a prominent Christian leader, which you are in addition to your political views, you broached the question of his treatment of Christians within Ukraine. The Zelensky government has raided convents, arrested priests, has effectively banned a denomination, a Christian denomination, the Ukrainian Orthodox Church within Ukraine, has persecuted Christians. And I wonder if you raised that with him.
I did raise the issue when we were there. And I raised it with the...
Okay. We've already heard all of this. I apologize. Larry, you got to tell me what minute mark you want me to play, because I can't just keep looking. Okay.
Here's the thing. What I get out of it.
What'd you get out of
it? If transgenders are not allowed to deploy, if they're not allowed to exercise, well, what the hell do they do all day? Sit around the table playing pinochle?
Well,
should I say tranny knuckle?
You're wrong there, buddy. You're wrong. The deal is they can if they want to. See, they got the option. Do you want to train or not? So they're the ones that have the option. Plus, if you've seen some of these YouTube videos of our soldiers dressed up in dresses and eye makeup and false eyelashes and talking like this, I'm telling you, there's going to be some dead soldiers, because they're going to go out and pick up a guy, or a guy's going to hit them up, and hoochie-coochie time goes around, and you're going to, you know, trying to slide a little hand somewhere, and there's going to be Mr. Willie looking at him. Somebody's going to get hurt. I'm telling you, I'm surprised there hasn't been already.
Yeah.
They had another video where the instructor at one facility was speaking in Spanish to a whole room.
Speaking in Spanish?
What the hell's going on there? Yeah, she was speaking in Spanish. She was speaking in Spanish.
I don't know.
Soldiers in American uniforms.
You know, the 9,000 troops that got thrown out of the military for not taking the shot. They took a vote the other day, and Mr. Romney and a senator from – who's the other senator from your state? Pianki.
I can't think of his name.
I can't either right now. And Susan Collins, there's three Republicans who voted against allowing them to come back in with their rank that they left. And Romney's one of the morons that voted against just letting them come back, you know. That should be an easy vote. Since we're already behind on recruiting, nobody's joining up anymore. Who wants to be in a damn, you know, besides Bob, who else wants to be in a damn foxhole with somebody you don't even know who it could be Roger or it could be Carla, whatever the guy feels like being that day. And they'll get Carla out of that damn foxhole. Carla gets to go back into the barracks and be safe while you're out there fighting. That's bullshit. Okay.
Why are you being homophobe?
Well, I'm not a homophobe. You ain't right. Oh, Lord. Larry, put this in for me to play, and it's for Daniel and Kathy also.
My next guest has a stunning story to tell about our government's involvement with UFOs, extraterrestrials, secret moon bases, and, yes, human trafficking, one of the most lucrative businesses in the world, all tied together. It might be uncomfortable for some of you to watch what we're about to discuss, but I want you to watch this with an open mind. We now have more whistleblowers who've come forward to confirm the stories that you're about to hear. They're supporting evidence and documents and testimony. Niara Eisley served in the United States Air Force and was stationed at Nellis Air Force Base. Her specialty at the time was auto track radar, which was designed to lock onto and track surface-to-air missiles and anti-aircraft artillery using precision laser technology. One of her jobs was to track a government-made UFO that was built using alien technology. And that's just the beginning of the story. Niara joins us now. Welcome to Redacted. Nice to see you.
Yeah, thank you. One little correction to your intro. I was actually tracking aircraft, you know, like jet aircraft. That
okay.
was my job, to track the aircraft. And we had surface-to-air missile sites that we were – radar sites that we worked at. So basically we were tracking the aircraft with a very tiny targeting beam. And then what we did was we trained pilots to fly against radar and use countermeasures to break radar locks on them so they would have a greater survivability and not get shot out of the sky. So that's basically my job. I was training pilots to fly and cope with targeting radar and break their radar locks so that they could escape. And then there was that time I was multiple times, I think, taken out in the middle of the night to track, to see if we could target track these special aircraft that turned out to be either alien spacecraft or back engineered or a combination of both.
Which is unbelievable. So that's a major piece of this. And I guess we'll start at the beginning. So you were working in the United States Air Force, and did you have some experience before this, or was that the beginning of this, where you worked at the United States Air Force, you were involved in this radar tracking technology, you were training pilots how to break this so they could survive and not be shot down. And then what was the moment that changed your life forever? Did it happen there at the Air Force, or did it happen before that?
It really happened there. I mean, I did have childhood ET abductions, alien abductions, if you want to call it that.
Uh-oh. She was, what is she saying? She was abducted by an alien?
And that was disturbing enough. And that's a whole different story.
Yeah, it is.
But today we're going to focus on these things that happened to me in the military. And I should start by saying that what happened to me was so traumatic I didn't remember it for 9 years.
Okay.
Well, it's an exclusive report now here,
Larry,
at Redacted.
He sent
the
this.
Film that you are about to see is jaw-dropping, and it was passed over by the New York Times.
I'm trying to move this up.
In 1997 by members of the U.S. military. Yes, an alien creature being interrogated by members of the U.S. military.
That's
just a few weeks ago, our guest, John Stewart, hand-delivered his entire investigation to Congressman Tim Burchett's office, and he's become the first non-government civilian to submit a report to the United States Congress regarding the extraterrestrial phenomenon. And John joins us now. John, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you here on Redacted.
You, Clayton, it's an honor, and it's an honor at any time anyone is willing to listen to this bizarre and incredible journey and investigation, and I am honored to be on your show and able to tell your viewers and listeners my journey and expose, without a doubt, the greatest cover-up in human history.
So we're going to show this film in a minute, and it's about 2 minutes and 57 seconds long, this film from 1997. We're going to walk through it, and you're going to explain to our viewers exactly what we're seeing. But I do want to provide some context here on how this film came to be, how you got your hands on this film, and the cover-up surrounding this film. So how did you first learn about this interrogation that took place at 1997 at the S2 facility?
Oh, S2. I heard of that.
Like most people back in 1997, this was a documentary that came out, and I was living this baller lifestyle. You know, I had a black Porsche, a powerboat on Lake Michigan, living in the 36th floor of one of the hottest real estate markets and areas in Chicago. And I say that not to impress anybody, but to impress upon people. You know, I go to sit down and watch this documentary thinking alien interview. This is going to be like a weird humanoid looking person handing a clipboard over to a general at the Pentagon for a job interview. I mean, this is how.
Okay, get to it, bald-headed freak.
I'm sitting down and 30 minutes into this documentary, this footage comes on. It's not professionally done. It doesn't have any cuts. There's people in the foreshadow. This gray alien is bone color, bone, like human bone. It's got round eyes, not almond-shaped eyes. You know, if I'm hoaxing a video of a gray alien, it's going to be gray, and it's going to have the typical almond eyes.
Okay, get to it.
And this bizarre physiological monitor next to the bean that goes up and down and not across the screen. And then Victor, the alleged whistleblower who claimed to have helped smuggle this out of Area 51, that's the way insiders talk of Area 51. And I had a psychologist tell me that I've probably encountered 10,000 people in my life with wrestling and, you know, in the automobile industry and in politics. I've never heard anyone this intelligent in my life. And I don't think a 23-year-old screenwriter in 96 could have made
97
up the script that Victor was talking about. I mean, the vernacular he used was bizarre. And he used a term called medical flagging. The creature starts to medically flag. And I asked my old doctor, who was about 65 years old at the time in 97, on my annual checkup, I said, what is medically flagging? He looked at me, he goes, where did you hear that from? That's like a Army medical term we used in the 50s and 60s. I'm like, wait a minute, what is going on here? And then there was some weird acronym on the bottom, DNI, David November Igloo, /27. And Victor tells us that was the Department of Naval Intelligence. So I run for Congress 2 years later with this film in the back of my mind going, what is going on here? And I don't want to say his name anymore because I'm getting admonished for doing so, but I was on a political bus tour, and I went up to a senator during a break who has passed away now, and I said, Senator, what is the Department of Naval Intelligence? And Clayton, you look in my eyes. This guy went from jovial, happy senator to this aggressive look, and he looked at me, he goes, you don't need to know anything about that. And he stormed off, and he never talked to me the rest of the tour, which was a weekend. And I'm thinking to myself, and Clayton, you're a journalist, you're an investigative reporter too. I'm thinking, wait a minute. I got a hoaxed video with medical terminology from the 50s and 60s. I've got a gray alien that's tan and round eyes. Medical staff are in short sleeve scrubs and not in biohazard suits to really hype up the video. I've got a monitor that I have never seen in, 35 years of my life back then. And I've got three letters on this hoaxed video that has just pissed off a United States senator. What in God's name is going on with this film?
I think we've let our audience wait long enough, but I absolutely wanted to provide the deep context on this film so that you're not just watching this film without any context and knowing the names of the individuals who were in the room, people who were there at the time, and verification of that, all of that processing there. The New York Times piece of this, them saying, we believe you, we believe the veracity of this. So you have all of that. Now, let's play the film. So here it is. This is, again, it's silence. There's no audio on this. What are we looking at here as we play this film? What are we seeing on our screen, John?
Okay. Contrary to Victor's voiceover, this is a film shot April of 1991, a thought projection interview of a other gray, designated an other gray, an extraterrestrial biological entity. He is a haploid, which means he came with only one sexual chromosome. Human beings are diploids. For any microbiologist out there, if I'm hatcheting those words, I'm sorry. But this being had only one sexual chromosome. He came to the S2 Alpha, the official designation of the underground facility that housed the alien interrogation and retention program. That's the unofficial name of what this was. They call these interview suites the ambassador suites because the government did try for the care and did treat these and look at these beings and still do as ambassadors from other planets and other dimensions. And if you hear David Grush coughing on his words, it's because he doesn't want to tell you that some of these beings are from other dimensions. And so this being was very ill at the time. He had a respiratory issue. Now, Sean David Morton also heard, I can't verify this veracity, that it's some sort of debilitation or disease with its heart-lung sac. It does not have a traditional heart. It's got a heart-lung one sac, which was the need for the special monitor, which goes up and down, does not go across, to monitor this bizarre heart-lung one sac organ that the alien has. And behind the viewing glass were five men, two telepaths. There is a researcher out there, and I don't doubt it. And because I've seen the outline of the figure, and I didn't catch this, and someone else did, so I'm crediting them. I don't ever want to not credit other people. That Colin Powell was in that interview room. Now, I know that sounds crazy. I can't verify it, but it certainly looks like the outline of him. It looks like an African-American male in his 50s wearing an Army Class A dress uniform. Funny, the Rear Admiral that was on my list was the person that reported intelligence to the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Interesting. But that's how bizarre this film has gotten. And I'm not even going to tell you anything about the telepaths because I don't want it to get into the Da Vinci Code. But even Doty said that the telepathic program, the people they hired, they were like one step above 1-800 psychics back in the 80s and 90s. But there was two men in particular that were very in touch with these beings, and they would sit down with these aliens and these beings and immediately get information and relate it back to whatever military person was in the room. As you can see on the tape, the being eventually starts to medically flag, if I can use the whistleblower Victor's terminology, and he is then attended to by the medical staff. And Victor tells us that the medical staff in S2 and S4, are more chosen for their ability to keep secrets than their medical knowledge. And again, I have been in contact. I have the names of the two doctors that are going to be on either side of this beam. On the bottom, you're going to see DNI/27. That is the Department of Naval Intelligence.
Okay. Yeah, all right. I don't know. Who knows?
It sounds like everything had been verified and confirmed as far as the legitimacy of the video.
Well, I can't remember his damn name, but he said that what we're seeing is actually our military going that, you know, and I,
oh, yeah.
He said, you know, 'cause he was all believing too until, he said, till he found out that they, our military has found a way to do this and to make saucers and triangles and fly. But he never said, how in the hell do you fly 3,600 miles an hour? You know, like, like on Skinwalker, you've seen this thing. And they measured, and this thing was going 3,600 miles an hour.
Yeah, how does it not affect the human body? Is that what you're saying?
How in the hell are you going to get something to go 3,600 miles an hour unless it's a missile? You know?
Well, unless the extraterrestrials, just like they did with the Nazi Germans in the 1930s, swap technology, you know, for other favors.
Well, I tell you what, the Nazis were so far ahead of us in military, and they were working on things, and you know, you didn't see until the future. They had all kinds of. That's when we took their scientists. And I believe we had rockets going up, and whether you believe it or not, to the moon. And because these guys, I don't know. What do you think, Pianchi? Bob, what's your thoughts? You believe in this?
I don't know. I'll put it to you this way. Okay, if you think that we're the only living people or whatever in this whole universe, you're all for arrogant.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but the thing is, the next galaxy is what, 90 light years away or something like that?
That's
traveling through the light for 90 years. I don't know.
Okay.
And they wouldn't look like human beings here on Earth because they're coming from a different environment, different atmospheric pressure. The eyes may be big as saucers. I don't know.
The thing about it with the galaxies, they don't have to be from another galaxy. I mean, they could be from this one, like that Valiant Bob that the CIA worked with in the 70s. He was from Venus.
What?
Yeah, look it up. Valiant Bob working with the CIA. And he's the one that told, that's how it got out. He said, y'all are lucky. Y'all are 10% of all civilizations, all creatures can live topside on their planet. He said, 90% live within the planet. For whatever reason, it's too cold, it's too damn hot, whatever. He lived the entire society, whatever society they were on Venus, he just left one day. They kept him, they lived within the planet. The CIA sort of kept him under wraps there for a long time, and he just disappeared. He told them what he had to tell. And I forgot what it was. I'm sure it was about nuclear weapons, you know. But, I mean, he worked with the CIA for, it seemed like it's like 10, 15 years.
Hmm. Well, I never heard of that, but I heard of Texas Bob. I've been wondering about him lately. I don't know. I don't know. I believe in wormholes. I do believe
exactly, Donnie.
Like that pilot that was going over the triangle in Florida, and